राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे,
विष्णुप्रदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे नवशेषशून्यवादे अशक्यादेशतारिणे सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे विशेषशून्यवादी पश्चादेशतारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवकादि गौर भक्तवृंद श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता जगधर शिव सदि गोर्भक्तवृन्द जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गोर्भक्तवृन्द श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गोर्भक्तवृन्द कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गोर्भक्तवृन्द माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोविंद जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जना ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Hariharaya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Hariharaya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Gopala Govinda Rama Shri Madhusudana Giridhari Gopinatha Madana Mohana Gopala Govinda Rama Shri Madhusudana Giridhari Gopinatha Madana Mohana Gopala Govinda Rama Shri Madhusudana Giridhari Gopinatha Madana Mohana Shri Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Sita Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Gita Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Sita Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Gita Shri Rupa Shri Sanatana Bhattar Kunadha Shri Jiva Gopala Bhattar Dasar Kunadha Hariharaya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Hariharaya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Hariharaya Namaha
namo krishna yadavaya namaha yadavaya madhavaya keshavaya namaha jaya radhe jaya radhe radhe jaya radhe jaya shri radhe Radhe Jaya Radhe Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Shri Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Shri Radhe Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Shri Krishna. Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Shri Krishna. Jaya Radhe Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Shri Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Krishna Krishna Jaya Krishna Jaya Shri Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Gopala Nanda Radha Gopala Nanda Radhe Jaya Radha Gopala Nanda Radha Gopala Nanda Radhe Jaya Radha Gopala Nanda Radha Gopala Nanda Radhe Jaya Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman 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 jaya gaura nitai jaya gaura nitai jaya gaura nitai jaya gaura nitai jaya prabhu pada 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 jaya prabhu pada
ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യ പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രയം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമയത ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ദിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതിം സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തു തേ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസ്തുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധൂഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമാം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യം പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണം പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയപ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാല നന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസജാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാഭികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാഭോദിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂക്കം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവേർ വേദൈ സംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദു സുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So, last Sunday, we have been talking about the three modes of material nature from the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We have seen that Krishna has explained there the three modes of nature when they act independently. When the independently modes of nature works with us, what the reaction is on us, what happens to us. Later on, Krishna will talk also about the mixed modes of nature, when one overcomes the other. So we have seen in verse 9, if you remember, Satum Sukhe Sanjayadi Raja Karmani Bharata, verse 9, Jnanam Avrutyudu Tama Pramade Sanjayatyuda. Krishna says, Hey Bharata, addressing Arjuna, Satvam Sukhe Rajaha. Satvam Sukhe, Satugunam, or the mode of goodness, ends up in happiness. Rajaha karmani sanjayadi. Rajogunam binds one to karmam. Rajogunam means karmam. And tamaha tu jnanam avrutya. Tamogunam covers the knowledge. Pramade uta sanjayadi. And it also, by covering the knowledge, it develops misunderstanding or pramadam. That's what Krishna says. Hey Bharata, sattvam sanjayadi sukhe. And Rajaha Karmani Sanjayadi Tamaha Tu Jnanam Avrutya Pramade Uta Sanjayadi. So, after that, Krishna says, Rajas Tamaschabhivoya Sattvam Bhavadi Bharada Rajas Sattvam Tamaschaiva Tamas Sattvam Rajastada. Sometimes, Krishna says, He Bharada Arjuna Sattvam Rajaha Tamaha Cha Eva Abhibhuya Bhavadi. Sometimes, Sattvagunam takes over Rajogunam and Tamogunam. It pushes Rajogunam and Tamogunam and takes control of the situation. And Rajaha Satvam Tamaha Cha Abhibhoya Bhavadi. Sometimes Rajogunam does the same thing, rejecting Satvam and Tamam. Tatha Tamaha Satvam Raja Cha Abhibhoya Bhavadi. So sometimes Tamogunam also does the same thing. And we can see that in our own daily life, how different modes of nature predominates us at different times according to our association with the modes of modes of nature. Sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayade jnanam yada tada vidyal vivrdham sattvamityuda. Krishna says in the verse 11, asmin dehe sarvadvareshu jnanam prakasham uda. In this material body, all the senses of knowledge is enlightened with the presence of sattvagunam. Yada upajayade, how it does that? When that happens, when there is a illumination in the sense, when all the senses are working purely and without being infected with the modes of sattva, when infected with sattvagunam, all the senses become illumined. When the senses become illumined. And tada sattvam vivardham iti vidyal. When that happens, you have to know that the sattvagunam is predominating the person. In other words, when sattvagunam is predominating the person, all his senses and everywhere, sarvadvareshu dehesvin prakasham upajayade, Krishna says, all over the body you will see the change in a person, how the sattvagunam is working in him. And lobha, pravrti, arambha, karmana, mashamaspriha, rajasyedani jayende, vivrdhe bharadarshabha. Krishna says, hey Bharadarshava, rajasi vivrdhe lobaha, pravrtiha, karmanam arambaha, ashamaha, spriha edani jayende. When rajogunam increases in a person, automatically, lobaha, the greed builds up in a person. And what else? Pravrtihi, altogether wants to always engage in activities. And karmana arambaha, he will endeavor very hard to increase his, to fulfill his desires. Ashamaha, and different kinds of mind will be completely disturbed. All kinds of sankalpam and vigalpam will build up inside. Sapriha edani jayende. And in his attachment for different material objects will also increase. This is all the symptoms of the rajogunam. Rajogunam acts in this way, Krishna says. Aprakasho pravartischa pramado mohameva cha tamasedani jayande vivrdhe kurunandana. Hey kurunandana, Krishna addressing Arjuna as kurunandana, tamasi vivrdhe, when tamogunam is dominating, what will happen? Aprakashaha, indiscrimination, or in other words, lack of discrimination will build up in a person. And apravartihi cha, also no endeavor from his side. He knows he wants a lot of things, but he doesn't want to do anything about it. Pramadaha, no serious, alertness, or mind is not alert at all the time in a sleepy and lazy mood. And moha, evacham, and unnecessary desires to possess various things. Edani jayande, all these things develop in a person at that time when tamogunam predominates. So from these discussions in so far, you can see that the different modes of nature have their own different characteristics. And from the characteristics, we can say what modes of nature is predominating one. Yada sattve pravardhedu pralayam yati dehabral tadottama vidham logan amalan prativadyade. Sattve pravardhedu dehabral pralayam yati yada tada. Just like sattugunam is increased in a person, at that time, in the mode of goodness, if one leaves the body, automatically he goes into the higher planets. Krishna says it goes into the higher planets. Amalan logan pratipadyade. He goes into the such higher planets where there is an opportunity for sense enjoyment, where the sense enjoyment is very high. So sattugunam, when sattugunam is high, and if a living entity leaves the body in sattugunam, he goes into the higher planets. And rajasi pralayam gatva karma sangishu jayade, tada prainastamasi mudhayonishu jayade. Rajasi pralayam gatva karma sangishu jayade. In rajogunam, when one leaves the body, he naturally becomes attached to karmam. He will get birth in families where there is a lot of karma sangisho, who are very attached to work and whose mind is always devoted to developing economic side, economic development, in other words. So you can see that the rajogunam comes with a person, and he is already given birth to develop that rajogunam in him. If you remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is spoken that rajodiyaha karma varaha. This rajogunam is the predominating characteristics in a person.
And the nature of Rajogunam is karma varaha, always wants to engage in action, karmam. So that karmam, when one comes with that Rajogunam, or when one is infected with that Rajogunam in a person, naturally, his birth also will be in a family of Rajogunam, who have got that Rajogunam. Satugunam and Satugunam joins together. Similarly, Rajogunam and Rajogunam joins together. Tamasi pralinaha mudhayonishu jayate. Or if the tamogunam is predominant at that time in a person, he will take birth in mudhayoni. Mudhayoni means where animals and such species where there is no opportunity for going up in spiritual life. So, depending on even the modes of nature, our birth is decided to some extent. It happens. Karmana suradasyahu satvigam narmalam phalam rajasastu phalam dukham ajnanam tamasab phalam. Krishna says, karmana sukradasyahu satvigam narmalam phalam. Sukradasya karmanaha satvigam narmalam phalam. The pious activities or spiritual activities also, pious activities are in the mode of goodness. And that the result of that will also be pure. The purity will be there in the results also. Ahu rajasastu dukham phalam. And the rajasic activities will bring distress in a person. Tamasaha ajnanam phalam. Tamasaha ignorant activities or in the mode of ignorance. If such activities are performed, the results will be stupidity. In other words, mudhatvam. The person will become more and more ignorant. That is the result of such activities. So, karmam is divided into these three groups in order to tell us how that will affect us also. Satval sanjayade jnanam rajaso lobha evaja pramada mohau tamaso bhavado ajnanam evaja. Krishna says, satval jnanam, from sattugunam knowledge builds up. From sattugunam knowledge builds up. Rajasaha lobha evaja sanjayade. From rajogunam, greed will build up in a person. Rajogunam, greed will build up in a person. Tamasaha pramadam mohau bhavadaha. From tamogunam, from ignorance, pramadam and moham. Pramadam means misunderstanding. Misunderstanding of everything. Whatever is spoken, he will understand in the wrong way. And moham. Moham means delusion. Illusion will come to him. He will be always thinking in the wrong direction and all sorts of false ideas will build up inside. And with the result, ajnanam evacha bhavadi. Ignorance also builds up in a person. Because when one acts in an ignorant way, that ignorant vasanas will develop more as a coverage on his consciousness, and that will build up in due course into a very thick sheath around his mind. In other words, he will not be able to penetrate through that. And just like Ishobanishad said this before, Ishobanishad says, Asurya namade logai. Asurya namade loge. That means he has to go into such conditions of life where there is limited possibility of knowing about Krishna. Or there is a limited possibility of advancing on the spiritual path. This is what the result will be. Asurya namade loge. Andhena tamasavruda. He will become tamasavruda. Tamasam, when he is completely covered by tamogunam. When tamogunam covers a person, he becomes blind. Blind not in the physical sense, blind unable to see anything properly. That lack of discrimination goes away from him. He loses all the capacity to discriminate things properly. And that is the difficulty with most people, that when tamogunam envelops a person, the qualities discussed in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam will find it very unattractive to him. He will not be able to find any interesting thing in Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. He will think that Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are just nothing to do with me. What I'm perfectly situated. That thoughts will develop in a person. This is the result of tamogunam. So Krishna is saying here, tamasaha adha gacchandi. And those who are pramada moho bhavada ajnanam evaja bhavadi. Ajnanam will build up. That is the greatest difficulty with tamogunam. So in different ways Krishna is warning us that these three modes of nature has this subtle influence on us. And we have to be careful in our selection of association, selection of karmam, selection of all other activities related to our daily life. These things are important. Urdvam gacchandi sattvastha, madhye tishtandi rajasa, jaghanya gunavruttestha, atho gacchandi tamasaha. Sattvastha urdvam gacchandi. Sattvastha urdvam gacchandi. Those who are in the mood of goodness, they will go up. Just like this Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas is something like, you got see these three balloons. Say, one balloon is filled with helium. It goes up, isn't it? That is Sattvagunam. Another one is filled with filled with Tamogunam. Just like if you fill up a balloon with carbon dioxide, CO2, what will happen? Because of the CO2's high weight, it comes down. That is Tamogunam. And similarly, air, if you fill it in, it more or less floats in the air. It doesn't go up, doesn't go down. So like that, you can imagine the three-tier system in the train. Upper berth, middle berth and lower berth. So Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam is like that. Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha. When one is in the Sattvagunam, he goes up. Automatically he goes up. Madhye tishtandi rajasaha. In the Rajogunam, he comes to the middle stage. Jaganya gunavruttistha adho gacchanti tamasaha. Otherwise, if he gets covered by Tamogunam, he goes down. So the modes of nature, the influence of the modes of nature on us is so strong that even our destination is controlled by that. Even our destination is controlled by that. Similarly, from our activities in the past life, a particular modes of nature comes with us as well. It also comes with us. And that modes of nature decides the birth. And the same modes of nature decides the death also. Even the time of death, what will happen is again the modes of nature. That is why Krishna is constantly reminding us how association should be better. The best association one should seek when one wants to advance spiritually. In other words, Krishna will say this later in a different way. That even those among the lower modes of nature, purely due to association, they can elevate themselves. They can elevate themselves. But due to association, it is possible to do that. There is no other shortcut to do that. So, although there are so many things explained in the Bhagavatam also about this, Krishna gives a lot of importance to association for this reason. Association with those who are in the mode of goodness will elevate him in the mode of goodness, even if he is in the lower modes of nature. So that's why, urdham gacchandi sattvastha, madhye tishtandi rajasaha, jaganya gunavruttyastya, atho gacchandi tamasaha. Then, after that, Krishna says, nanyam gunebhya kartharam, yada drishtanu pashyadi, gunebhyascha param veti, malbhavam sodhi gacchadi. Krishna says, nanyam gunebhya kartharam, yada drishtanu pashyadi, yada drishta gunebhya anyam kartharam na anupashyati. Krishna says, when a person, drashta, one who does not see the person who is different from the three modes of material nature. In other words, we have to realize the individual soul is not the person who is actually executing everything. Who is executing? Everything is executed by the gunas, gunebhyaha. Gunaha. Gunam is causing everything, not actually the person is doing it. That discrimination is necessary. Similarly, Atmanam gunebhyaha param veti, and with the result of that is one see that the soul is different from the three modes of nature, then saha malbhavam adigachari. When one is able to see that, he comes back to me, Krishna says, because this whole, everything in this creation is three modes of material nature. That is the first thing. The three modes of material nature is everywhere. So, the result of the three modes of material nature is that it affects everyone to some extent or the other. So, Krishna is saying here, nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashta anivashyari. When one does not know this, that it is the modes of nature that is causing the interactions in this world, nothing else. The soul, individual soul within a person has nothing to do with it. When one sees like that, and when one also knows that soul is different from the modes of nature, the activities are performed by the modes of nature. Again, the soul is different from the modes of nature. When one realizes that, Krishna says he comes back to me. Saha malbhavam adigacchari. That is what the important point. So, in other words, liberation actually means that we are released from the three modes of material nature. You can see that here from these verses. That actually liberation is nothing but escaping from the three modes of material nature. The earlier instances also, when Krishna spoke about this, you can see here that the in the Nanyam Gunebhya Kartharam Yadadrasht Anubashari Gunebhyascha Paramveti Malbhavam Sodhi Gacchari, that the doer is nothing but a witness. Doing is nothing but a witness of the activities. And when one sees that the soul has is different from the activities of the modes of nature, then he is actually seeing. Krishna says, there are three things involved there. The person who is seeing, the object what is being seen, and the process of seeing this. And the process of seeing, that is what it is called. The process of seeing, and the object what is being seen, and the seer, one who is seeing it. So all these three things are at one time exist. But later on, when one realizes that the seeing, the object seeing, and the person who is seeing is different from the process of seeing and the objects of seeing. Or in other words, the doer or the person who is witness, seeing means actually not only one activity, that is the function of the eyes, but similarly all the other senses also. That's what it mentions. When it says here, Nanyam Gunabhya Kartharam Yadadrashtanu Anubashyadi, it's not only in relationship with seeing, in relationship with all the other activities of the senses. Just like hearing, or smelling, or tasting, everything, all the five different senses of knowledge, when they are acting, one has to know that the knowledge, the senses are under the particular modes of nature. It is functioning. The soul has nothing to do with it. And so, the seer, which is the living entity, the jiva, that he thinks that is where the problem starts. He thinks that I am the doer. He thinks that I am the doer. That is why he is called a conditioned soul. Why is he called a conditioned soul? Because he thinks I am the doer. That is how it starts. Actually, the living entity is is a part and parcel of Krishna. Because he is a part and parcel of Krishna, he is not a part of the modes of nature, nor he is a part of the material nature. He is not a part of the material nature. On the other hand, he is not a doer, nor he is an enjoyer. Nor he is an enjoyer of the things. But because he has accepted a medium, what is that medium? The chittam, isn't it? Inside, the subtle body, inside, in the chittam. We talked about this, manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam. Out of that, in the chittam, he has accepted all these different modes of nature. And because the result of that, the activity starts, karma begins. And when karma begins, and if ever you have to give kartrutvam, or the ownership of activities, you have to give to the modes of nature, not to the individual. That is the most important thing. That the modes of nature is actually pushing the chittam or the person's mind to act in a particular way, not the soul. Soul has nothing to do with it. That is the most important thing. But the living entity is unable to know that. He is not able to know that. So what happens? So he started thinking, I have done this, I have done that, and it should come back to me. That the kartrutvam, or the ownership. He starts taking the ownership of his activities. And the result of that, he gets entangled in the karma. In different karmic activities, he gets entangled in that. And followed by many times of birth and death. Different bodies, in other words. That's the result of that. Therefore, when that ignorance goes away in a person, that is why Krishna is repeating these things again and again, so that it somehow or the other gets into our head, that this ownership mentality has to go away from us. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. In order to get rid of that from our mind, Krishna is repeating the same point again. When knowledge builds up, and Krishna says when ignorance goes away and knowledge builds up, he will realize that I am not the doer and I am not the enjoyer. That will come to him. Once that happens, gunas, or the three modes of material nature, are the cause of my different births and deaths. These results will also come. And with the result that of that will be that he will develop more into... This will all happen only in the mode of goodness. Only in the mode of goodness these things will happen. And eventually, with the same effect or due to the mode of goodness, he will realize that I have nothing to do with the three modes of material nature. So this way, this subtle effect of the modes of nature on us, one can overcome. That is what Krishna is saying. Nanyam gunebhyakartaram yada drashta nivashyadi gunebhyaschavaram veti malbhavam sodhi gachyadi. The moment the jiva, the conditioned soul, is freed from the three modes of material nature, Krishna says there is no more contamination on the soul at that time. No more contamination on the soul. And he is not, that jiva consciousness will change. Conditioned state will go away. And he is ready to come back to me. Or he is qualified to be back with me. Krishna says, Malbhavam sodhi gachari. He can take up Krishna's association. Or in other words, he is liberated from the conditioned state. So you can see why these things are spoken repeatedly. For one reason only, that one has to be aware of the three modes of material nature. And thereby God oneself, by being affected by that.
Gunanedanaditya treen dehi deha samalbhavan janmamrtya jara dukher vimitto mridamasnude.
Then, gunanedanaditya treen dehi deha samalbhavan. Because of the conditioning of these upadhis, upadhi means the the mediums through which one gets conditioned. That's upadhi. That's the upadhi. Just like to give an example, that the fire is there. For the fire to burn, the medium is firewood, isn't it? The medium is firewood. So in other words, we say the firewood is the upadhi for the fire to appear. The firewood is burning. But the fire to appear, you require an upadhi. That is what is called the fire, the firewood. So similarly, gunaneda aditya trin dehi deha samulbhavan, that because of these upadhis, because of the upadhis, what are the upadhis here? Upadhis here are the jiva living entity has got so many upadhis. It has got the gross body, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, and everything. All those things are upadhis it has used, and in associate, and those things have, due to association with the three modes of nature, they have been infected, all of them. The mind, the body, the senses, intelligence, everything has been infected. And then when it gets purified, how will it get purified? Devotion, knowledge and renunciation. That is the cause of that, purification. Devotion, knowledge and renunciation purifies these things. When it gets purified, automatically it gets released from intelligence, or the discrimination comes up in him, and with the result of that, he will be able to release himself from the upadhis, or from the upadhis. And he becomes transcendent. He transcends the three modes of material nature. And what will happen at that time, that actually birth and death he has been experiencing so far in different bodies, that goes away. And he identifies himself totally with the spirit soul as spirit soul. So that identification will happen. So you can see from the three modes of material nature, when one escapes from that, one is released from the bodily concept of life as well. So that is when one comes out of the bodily concept of life, when one is freed from the three modes of material nature.
Gunanedanaditya treen dehi deha samulbhavan janmamrtya jara dukher vimukto omrtam asnudem.
Krishna says that all the material bodies originate from the three modes of material nature. All the material bodies originate from the three modes of material nature. And you cannot help it, because they closely guards us. The soul, as soon as accepts a material body, even at that time, the material body has originated from three modes of nature. And in course of time, nothing but the three modes of nature is controlling him all the way through up to the time of death. And even while leaving the body, the modes of nature whatever modes of nature he is in, will decide his destination also to the next body. So, Arjuna Vacha. When Arjuna heard all these things about the modes of nature, Arjuna had certain doubts at this time. And Arjuna asks his doubts as and when this comes to him. He finds it a little bit difficult, because the difficulty in Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna is saying so many things and a lot of similarity with different things. But every time Krishna presents them in a different pattern. For example, here, in this chapter, in this current chapter, 14th chapter, what did Krishna say? Krishna talked about the modes of nature, isn't it? Three modes of material nature. If you look at the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there that he brings a personality called Sthita Prajnan there, isn't it? One whose intelligence is very steady. We discussed that in the second chapter. Certain personalities, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha Samadhistasya Keshava. Arjuna asked that question to Krishna. What is the nature of a Sthita Prajna? Isn't it? So similarly, here Krishna, Arjuna is asking, what is the symptom of a Gunadhita? One who has transcended the three modes of material nature. One who has gone beyond the three modes of material nature. There, Arjuna asked, what is the nature of a person whose intelligence is very steady? Sthita Prajna. Prajna means actually intelligence is, you can say in one sense it is intelligence, but prajna is a little bit different than that. I don't know if there is any equivalent English word for that. Prajna actually means that a steady and fixed intelligence in a certain mission. For example, when one is committed to spiritual life and he is clear in his mind what he is doing and he wants to engage in that steadily without being deviation from that. Because his prajna or intelligence has captured that understanding very firmly and nothing can shake that. And that is called prajna. Prajna means that if the purity of the intelligence. When one's intelligence is very pure, then he will capture the point, what is spoken by the Shastram very clearly. And it will not get deviated, it will not get distracted by any means. Because he is clear in his head. That is the purity of the prajna, or purity of the intelligence. So, we talked about that in the second chapter, when Krishna said, Sthita prajna sega bhasha samadhistasya keshava. So many qualities of a sthita prajna, Krishna discussed. And Arjuna asked at that time, what is the nature of a sthita prajna? How does he walk? How does he sit? How does he speak? And how does he relate with this world? All these questions Arjuna asked there, isn't it? And Krishna answered them. And also, we have seen some personalities as examples for this steady intelligence from Mahabharatam and Srimad Bhagavatam. We talked about them. And so, how such a nature develop in a person? Sthita prajnatvam, that steady intelligence, how does it come? And the Arjuna wanted to know how those things happen. And then is how then Krishna started talking about Karma Yoga and all other things later. Now here, when the three modes of material nature was discussed, Arjuna asked immediately, how do I understand one has gone beyond the three modes of material nature? Gunatitan is called, beyond the three modes of material nature. That's Arjuna's question. Kairlinga istrin gunanetan adido bhavadi prabhoho. Kimachara katham chaidam strin gunana divartadem. That you should see here Arjuna's very serious interest in that. although he has spoken about this before also in a similar way, this desire from Arjuna to know has actually pleased Krishna. To know the nature of a person who has crossed the three modes of material nature. Kairlinga istrin gunanetan adido bhavadi prabho kivacharam kivacharaha katham chaitam strin gunanadivartadeyam. So, as soon as Arjuna heard this, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, the living entity is very ignorant. The jiva is very ignorant and its condition and is very weak as well. What should he practice in order to cross over the three modes of material nature and to transcend the three modes of material nature? What all practice he should do? And how can he cross over the three modes of material nature and be situated within himself as the spirit soul, free identifying himself as the spirit soul? Without your help, it is not possible to know that. Arjuna says to Krishna, please kindly instruct me on this. This was Arjuna's question. You see, our mistake is this, our difficulty is this. When we see somebody in a spiritual life, when we see somebody in spiritual life, anybody for that matter, we think that he should act in a particular way, isn't it? We start thinking, oh, sometimes we think he should dress even in a proper way, in a particular way. Only then he is spiritual, they say. Say he should have a beard, big beard, or a big shikha, or a clothes which are representing him as a spiritual personality. So we have made certain picture in our own mind that he should look like this. And we also have made another understanding in us. A spiritual person should act like this. He should speak like that. All these kind of things we expect from a spiritual personality. Although we are not ourselves spiritual, but we expect all this from the spiritual personalities. So he imposes all these things on others. And when it doesn't happen, then we start thinking he's not spiritual. We make the judgment also about a person like that. Krishna is saying here, just like in this verse, Krishna is saying that we put a uniform for the spiritual personality also. Just like for a doctor or for a prime minister or for a businessman, certain dress is acceptable, isn't it? Similarly, we think that if someone is a spiritual personality, he should dress in a particular way, isn't it? Krishna is saying, not necessarily. It's not purely depend on the external things. So that is what one should understand, because otherwise we will get misled everywhere. Just if you go by the dress alone. Because dress is not a guarantee that things will happen in the way it should happen. So altogether, the reason why Arjuna asked this question is, probably Arjuna had also the same experience in his life, that with the dress he was misled. So not to get misled by the dress, or not to get misled by one has to see the person's nature, or in other words, how far he is released from the three modes of material nature. So in order to explain that to us, Arjuna asked this question, how will I discriminate a person who is released from the three modes of material nature? This was Arjuna's intelligent question. It is an intelligent question, because most of us, in our conditioned state, we read something somewhere, and we think that this is what the right attitude of realize the soul. And then, whatever way he lives in this world, we start making judgment on him, thinking that, oh, he is not so advanced anyway, because he is not dressed properly. How can he be spiritually advanced? He doesn't know anything. Some kind of judgment comes from us automatically. So, Krishna is saying that is not the right thing. Arjuna wanted to know one who has transcended the one who has transcended the three modes of material nature, how he acts. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, if you look in the second chapter, Shishyasteham shadhi mam tvam prabhanyam isyashrayam ruhidan ruhi tanme shishyasteham shadhi mam tvam prabhanyam. At that time, Arjuna surrenders to Krishna. Arjuna surrenders to Krishna. Karpanya dosha bhakrata swabhava prachami tvam dharma sammoda chedaha. At that time, Arjuna says to Krishna, Karpanya dosha abhakrita swabhavaha. That karpanyam, that miserliness has come to me. Arjuna says to Krishna, because of that, abhakrita swabhavaha prachami tvam dharma samuda chedaha. I do not know what dharma is. So that purity in Arjuna, one has to look at. That is what's important. That openness in Arjuna to ask questions in a way which is wanted to, with the desire to understand better. This you see throughout Bhagavad Gita in Arjuna's question. Whenever Arjuna is confused, Arjuna asks without any hesitation to Krishna, Karpanya dosha bhakrata swabhava prachami tvam dharma samuda chedaha. That time when Krishna spoke about Arjuna, when Krishna says to Arjuna, when Arjuna was confused in the battlefield, Krishna says to Arjuna, Shishyasteham shadhi mam tvam prabhanyam. I become your disciple. Please instruct me and guide me in the proper direction. So that surrender nature is in Arjuna all the time, you will notice in the Bhagavad Gita. Wherever a crisis comes, Arjuna immediately surrenders to Krishna and asks him, please guide me, I am confused. He has no hesitation. He doesn't say, oh, I understand everything, even though he has not understood. That's not Arjuna. Arjuna is not like that. Arjuna will say to Krishna, I have not understood. Please tell me and explain it to me. And that is why Krishna is instructing this from different angles, so that it clicks into Arjuna's mind. And on the end of Bhagavad Gita, again, Arjuna will say, I still don't know what to do. And see how difficult it is to get this knowledge into the proper consciousness into us. That is why we'll see how that comes up later. But here, when this happened, that Arjuna's point is this, Please don't keep instructing me. I have to know first of all whether I can do it or not. You can keep on instructing me various things like all of us, isn't it? So many things we hear, but is it possible to take it on board in our life? That's also another important question, isn't it? So many things we can say, like we have seen many times in the history, many things Prabhupada has instructed, how much can we take on board? When it comes to practice, our color changes, isn't it? We have other priorities at that time. Only when we hear first time, yes, it goes in, goes out there, and then doesn't stay any more further off that. So, important thing is, Arjuna is asking, every time Arjuna reminds Krishna, then is it possible to achieve that situation, what you are saying? So, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Krishna says, Prakashancha pravrtincha mohameva cha pandava na dveshti sampravrtani na nivrtani kamkshadi. Then Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, Prakashancha pravrtincha mohameva cha pandavam. Then Arjuna, all these three modes of material nature, if I say in one word, it is prakasham. Prakasham means satugunam, enlightenment. Pravrti, rajogunam, in other words, activity. And ajnanam, ignorance, tamogunam. That's all, Krishna says. That's all in simple terms. And enlightenment, Krishna says, prakasham. Prakasham is the nature of the satugunam. And pravrti or activity is the nature of the rajogunam. And ignorance is the nature of tamogunam. Arjuna, Krishna wants Arjuna to understand that seriously. And whichever is predominating him, accordingly, that whichever modes of nature is predominating, accordingly he will act. Also, Krishna points out there that it is good to develop Satugunam. Krishna mentions there. Because Satugunam, if Satugunam goes down and the other two increases, it's dangerous. That's what it means. Therefore, first thing is to reduce the Rajogunam and Tamogunam and develop Satugunam. And then Satugunam also has to cross over in order to get out of the three modes of material nature. When all the three modes of material nature goes away and become transcended to that, then ragam and dvesham will go. In other words, this rajogunam has a quality called ragam and dvesham. Ragam means desire, attachment to various things in material life, desiring so many. No matter how much we hear about it, ragam and dvesham, desire and hate. Some people we love them, some other people we hate them. Some objects we like it, some objects we dislike it. This is ragam and dvesham is nature of rajogunam. From rajogunam this has come. Strictly speaking, living entity has nothing to do with the material world. It is not even part of the material world. It has come from the spiritual world. And its real place is in spiritual world. But when it comes to material world, it develops these qualities, covers them. Ragam and dvesham, desire and attachment and hate. Attachment and aversion, they say. So, when attachment and aversion builds up in a person, that is very difficult to come out of that. And therefore, when one comes to Satugunam, that ragam and dvesham will go away, and in due course, he'll be able to escape from Satugunam also. Then, and with the result of that the chittam inside will completely dissolve. And that is the time when one is released from the three modes of material nature, when the chittam completely dissolves. So basically, inside our mind, all these different modes of nature manifest in different forms. Kamam, lust, anger, greed, they are all from the rajogunam. And ragam, dvesham, matsaryam, that means attachment, aversion, competing with other all the time. And madam, moham, matsaryam, all the pride, ego, all these kind of things is coming from rajogunam. And from tamogunam, moham, maha moham, tam, all these kind of strong desires for things, but no knowledge at all, complete misunderstanding of life. And this is all a part of the tamogunam. All these things goes away and chittam gets purified. Eventually chittam dissolves, even the satugunam also goes away, dissolves, and then he becomes transcendent. So what is in this verse now? What do we have to notice? The notice is this, that Krishna spoke in the second chapter about Sthita Prajna, isn't it? One who is in the steady intelligence. In the third chapter, Krishna spoke about a Karma Yogi, did he not? And then Krishna spoke about a Jnani. And then Krishna spoke about a devotee, a Bhakta, That also Krishna has spoken. So the same person is coming in different dresses in different chapters. That's all. The qualities, if you look, they are the same for all of them. I don't know whether you have observed that. All the qualities mentioned, spiritual qualities, in the 12th chapter for a devotee, in the 3rd chapter for a karma yogi, or in the 2nd chapter for a siddha prajna, and in this 14th chapter for a gunatita, the same person taking different dresses and coming in front of us. That's all it is. Ultimately the message is the same. The same thing, Krishna is speaking through different angles, that's all. For a jnani also has to acquire the same qualities, a devotee also has to acquire the same qualities, a karma yogi also has to acquire the same qualities. That is why if you go through the qualities, what is being discussed from now on, which comes from now on, they are very similar to what we discussed in the 12th chapter for the devotee. They are not different. Almost the same, not much difference. So, in different way by instructing Arjuna, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, unless these qualities are built up, all this yoga system, whichever you take, it will fail. It will not work. Because these qualities are the one that is the essential ingredient in that particular process. Whether it's a jnani, whether it's a yogi, whether it's a bhakta, whether it's a karmi or a siddha prajna or gunatita, whatever it is, these qualities controls is the symptom of a person's progress in that path. If it's a guna, you can call him by any name, siddha prajna or gunatita or karma yogi or jnani or bhakta or whatever it is. But the qualities that is required are very, very similar. That is the important thing. So, just like someone is a father at home. When he goes to the office, he is an executive or whatever it is, that his job, he takes that designation. At home, he is a father and he also is a husband. If his parents are, he is a son of the parents also. And he is a brother for somebody or a brother for a sister, whatever. Different connections. But the person is the same. It's the same thing here also. It is the same spiritual personality who comes in all these different dresses. Gunadhidhan, Siddha Prajnan, and Karma Yogi, Jnani. All these different hats he is putting on. But the things what is required to advance in spiritual life, they are all the same. That qualities doesn't change. Jnani cannot think that, in the process there is little differences. But the qualities required in a person are very similar. They are not different. That is what this to note here. Prakashan cha pravrtin cha mohameva cha pandava na dveshti sampravrtani na nivrtani kankshati. Krishna says here, prakasham is jnanam, pravrti is karma, and moham is ajnanam. Na dveshti sampravrtani na nivrtani kankshati. When one is infected with these things, that when he is not disturbed by these things, then sampravrtani na nivrtani kankshati, that he is not complaining about it, and his personality doesn't change because of the influence of the modes of nature. That's what it means. Modes of nature is not disturbing him at all. If he comes to that, you can say he has transcended. And when he talked about the devotee's quality in the 12th chapter also, you will see exactly the same thing. That what are the different qualities of a devotee we discussed. And those qualities also are exactly similar to this. And the other thing to remember here is that, what is that? The important thing to know here is that the senses are acting always, isn't it? The senses are acting. From the spiritual point of view, our life is nothing but a sensual active interaction with the material world. That's all it is. We may call it in different ways. I'm working, I'm traveling, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But as soon as you are awake, the jagrat hours in this world, say 8, 10, 12 hours, depending on the individual. So 10-12 hours in a day, all what we are doing is the senses are interacting with the modes of nature and the sense objects, isn't it? According to the modes of nature. This is what it is going on. So at that time we are not aware of that, are we? Krishna is making us to be aware of this. Why? Because say for example, the eyes are seeing some object in the room. Eyes are seeing some object in the room. While seeing the object, what's actually seeing? Is the eye seeing that? No. I is not seeing that. Actually, what if we say this to somebody, they'll say, it's crazy to say that. My eyes are seeing that, you say. No. Actually, the spiritual understanding behind it is like this. That the eyes are able to see because there is light there. With the help of the light. The light of the light. So, if you leave the lights in the daytime, if you look outside, because of the presence of the sun, we are able to see. Isn't it? The sunlight is that's what's helping our eyes to be see something. In other words, if you take the light away, this thing called a sense has no value, is there? The sense are useless when there is no light there. So, light, the presence of the light helps the eyes to see. Now, even with the presence of the light and the eye, still we are not seeing. When do we see things properly? When the message is gone inside and the mind has accepted that. Isn't it? The mind has to accept that. Only when you have seen it. Otherwise, sometimes you can see that also in life, while talking to people. You talk to people something, but it is not gone in and registered inside the mind. Especially in, say for example, you live a quiet life and suddenly go for a party. And in the party you got all your friends, relatives, so many people there. And you are confused whom to talk, what to talk with everybody. You are in a confused state of mind, you are moving around there. And you have met somebody and you have seen him after a long time. And you have asked him, when did you come? He says, 2 days ago or whatever it is. You are seeing him after a long time. And when you are planning to go back, say after 2 days he's going to leave. All this kind of formalities happens. After the conversation, he says, when did you come? Again you will ask the same question. Or you will ask again the same thing. Why is that? Because you have been speaking, but the mind was not involved. It was not registering that. So similarly, eyes are seeing, only if the light is there, the eyes can see. Isn't it? Only if the light is there, the eyes can see. But even if the eyes are there, the light is there, there's no guarantee you have seen it still, because the mind has not got involved. Sometimes you travel, you have not noticed something. It was there, the light was also there, but you didn't notice it. Why? Because the mind was not there. Mind was somewhere else thinking something else. Sometimes people drive long distances. They didn't know which town they have crossed. They have gone through that. And then they realize, look at the map. I finished that junction long ago, they say. Why? Why is that? Because the mind wasn't there. Now, what Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying here is, even the mind is not seeing. Who sees? There is something behind it, which is the soul. It is the soul that makes the mind to accept or register something. Without the presence of the soul, all these activities will cease immediately. Immediately it will cease. So therefore, try to understand, Krishna says, the importance of the soul from this point of view. Now, if it is true with the eyes, it is true with all the other senses also. It is true with all the other senses also. Not only with the seeing. Seeing is one of them. So the whole day what's going on is these senses are doing different things in this world. Eating, sleeping, or listening to music, smelling a flower, tasting the food. Everything, all sensual activities is only because of the presence of the soul inside. It's able to function. That is the most important thing. Without the presence of the soul, all these activities do not happen in the body. It has not even happened as far as Krishna is concerned. So, in order to stress that point, Krishna is saying here, Shri Bhagavan Vaja, Prakashancha Pravartincha Mohamevaja Pandava Nadveshti Sampravurtani Nanivurtani Kaankshadim, that you have to go back like this. From the sense object to the eye, from the eyes to the light, from the light to the mind, from mind to the soul. From soul everything comes. Intelligence, mind, senses, all of them get their ability to function or work only because of the presence of the soul within the body. That is the proof of the presence of the soul in the body. That soul is the one which activates everything. Then, actually, these verses have come from Kathopanishad. This chapter has a very close resemblance with Kathopanishad. These verses, what Krishna is speaking here, are all taken from Kathopanishad, with very little differences. Udasino vadasino gunairyo navichalyade gunavartandamityeva yovadishtati neengade udasino vadasino gunairyo navichalyade
ഗുണാവർത്തന്തമിത്യേവ യോവതിഷ്ഠതി നീങ്കതെ. ഈവൻ ഇഫ് ദി ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ ഹാസ് നോട്ട് കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി ഡിസോൾവ്ഡ്, അറ്റ് ലീസ്റ്റ് ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് കംസ് ടു സം കൺട്രോൾ ഇറ്റ് സ്റ്റോപ്സ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ഫങ്ഷൻസ് ഫർദർ. ഈവൻ ഇഫ് ദർ ഇസ് എ സ്ലൈറ്റ് റേ ഓഫ് ദി മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ പ്രസന്റ് ഇൻ എ പേഴ്സൺ, ഇൻ അദർ വേർഡ്സ് ഇഫ് ഹി ഹാസ് മാനേജ് ടു കൺട്രോൾ ഹിസ് മൈൻഡ് ആൻഡ് സെൻസസ് കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി, ഈവൻ അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് പോയിന്റ് ഹി വിൽ ലൂസ് ഹിസ് ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ കർമ്മം. ദാറ്റ്സ് ദ മോസ്റ്റ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് തിങ് So, first thing is, what is causing all the problem is karma, isn't it? That tendency for karma, which is very strong in us, has to stop. And that is one everyone finds very difficult, how to stop it, this karmic activity, isn't it? So, naturally, people take to spiritual life, and after some time, they have to go away from spiritual life. Because the karma is pushing them back again. The karma vasana has not gone from inside. But when one develops spiritual understanding and spiritual knowledge builds up, then the desire for karma will slowly disappear from inside. Even a very slight ray of the presence of the modes of nature is there in one, then desire for karma at least he will be able to give up. People find it very, very hard. That is the reason why karma yoga was spoken by Krishna in the beginning. In the Bhagavad Gita, why did Krishna spend so many chapters to discuss karma yoga? Because this karma is the first thing that is holding us back. In order to escape from that, no way to come out of it. And if you continue doing this throughout life after life, then what is in waiting? What's in waiting is many, many lifetimes of birth and death. That's what is the process. So one has to know that this karma, I have done this for so many lifetimes, and even in this lifetime I have done enough. It is time for me now to withdraw myself. Karma has not made anybody happy in this world. That is another thing. Karma has never made anyone happy, except that it is more and more material bodies to him. So when one freed from karma, karmic activity, and one realizes that something has to change in my life, that is when karma yoga begins. Karma yoga begins. And that karma yoga will eventually develop into bhakti. So, ഉദാസീനവദാസീനോ ഗുണൈര്യോ ന വിചാല്യതേ ഗുണാവർത്തന്തമിത്യേവ യോവതിഷ്ഠതി നേങ്കതേം. Then the three modes of nature are now, when they become helpless with the living entity, then he cannot do anything. Then there will not be a flow of karma inside. Normally, when we get up in the morning till we go to bed at night, karma is pushing us. A continuous flow of karma is coming. I have to do this. I have to do that. Oh, after that, I have to go there. I have to pay this bill. And then I have to go to school. I have to go to college. I have this. By then, it's evening. And then you go to bed and sleep after that. Isn't it? So that's our life. Every day it is going on like this from morning to night. There's no time to sit and think, why I'm doing this or anything. No, there's no time also. They've never given you the time for that. So in this is called karma pravaham. Karma pravaham means the flow of karma, how it pushes us from morning to night. And when we come home in the evening after a whole hard day's work, sometimes we think, why am I doing all these things? But then it's too late, you have to go to bed. And that's the end of that day. Another day begins again, the next thing. So, udasina vadasino, Krishna says, udasinan. Udasinan means one who has shown some indifference to it. He is able to discriminate there. That I am not the one, I am not the person who has to engage in activities. He makes a decision. In other words. And gunairyo na vichalyade gunavartandamityeva yovadishtati nengade. He will become indifferent to the material world. That is the type of a person. Udaseno vadaseno. And although all the three modes of material nature has not gone away, at least it can be said that it is already is there to some extent, but it is not strong enough to make the living entity to work hard like that. It's not able to push the living entity to work hard like that. Then if you come to that stage, at least in course of time, you will get out of the three modes of material nature. Now, all these things are spoken, we have to understand with the proper background of it. When Krishna says that one should become indifferent to what? Indifferent to material activities.
activities and spiritual life doesn't go away. That has to continue because that is required for the purification of the self from the consciousness. So, udasina vadasino gunairyo na vichalyade. When Krishna says that, udasinata, that udasinatvam is towards material life, not towards spiritual life. Just because, oh, I have become now transcended all three modes of material nature, I'll just sit at home, if somebody should bring me prasadam and I'll eat it. That is not the transcending the modes of nature. Transcending the modes of nature means that he becomes indifferent to material life. Material life does not give him any more happiness, in other words. So he becomes indifferent to that. Once we become indifferent to material life, our material activities also will go, will come to a stop. We don't find any attraction in that. We don't find any attraction for material activities. So many things, we find it very difficult to give up, isn't it? We find it very difficult to give up because that's been with us for, that has been with us for a very, very long time. Television, for example. Television, people find it very, very hard to give up, isn't it? Because ultimately by evening you have to hear the news, what happened all over the world. So, and you feel that that is a part of you. In other words, that udasinatvam has not come there. So this happens when you separate material life and spiritual life. You think, I've done my bit for Krishna, now I'll do what I have to do for myself. This is called vibhajanam. Karmam should not be divided in that way. In spiritual life, if you start dividing like that, it will stay like that. There won't be any progress after that. But spiritual life is changing whole life, not only... some people have this nature. Oh, I've chanted my 16 rounds. I've done my deity worship. Now I've finished my work for Krishna. Now I start my work, what I have to do. So this kind of consciousness Krishna doesn't appreciate. Krishna is saying here through these verses to change life overall. Not commit an hour or two for him, but rather completely change the outlook in a person. That's what Krishna is talking about. Krishna is not talking about this 1 hour service or 1 hour devotion. Krishna is talking about a changing whole life according to the in order to free oneself from the modes of nature. Otherwise, what will happen is that if you practice spiritual life for an hour or two in the morning and rest of the time completely independent of the rules of Bhagavad Gita, then it will be manye kunjara shauchavad. It will be like the elephant's bathing. Isn't it? So there will have, it will go on like this for a long, long time and you will not find any changes happening, seriously. Nothing has happened. Whatever we have studied from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam has not had any impact on us. Everything has remained very theoretical. So that is why, guna vartandam ityevam yovadishtadinengadem. Then, udasino dasino gunairyo na vichalyate. Krishna is saying here that the udasino dasino, what does it mean actually? Udasino dasino. Udasino means, suppose there is an argument between two people on any issue. On any issue there is an argument. It doesn't take sides with anyone. It doesn't take sides anyone. Why is that? Because he knows it is the three modes of nature that is happening in there also. In all the interactions in the material world is nothing but interaction of the modes of nature. So one who has come to that state of consciousness, he would not take sides in these things because the taking sides means that you are surrendering to one of the modes of nature. Say a Rajoguni and Tamoguni is fighting each other. Which side will you take? Rajoguni side or Tamoguni side? Does that make any sense in taking sides of any of them? Because of the power of that Rajogunam, that person is doing something in that particular way. Because of the power of the Tamogunam, that another person is acting in a different way. So one who has that discrimination, he shouldn't get involved in that argument or in between that trouble between the two. So Sattugunam helps to understand. And one who has come out of three modes of material nature, he does not take sides with anyone. Krishna wants this very strongly in the Bhagavatam also. This one particular point always remember, he says to Uddhava, that the three modes of nature is working in this world. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamset na garhayed. when somebody is acting in a particular way, you must know, Krishna says to Uddhava, Paras Swabhava Karmani, his Swabhavam, his nature is working, which is under the three modes of material nature. Paras Swabhava Karmani, his karmam also, na prashamsadi, it doesn't have to be glorified. Na garhadi, it doesn't have to be condemned also. We have this tendency in us, if somebody does something, we have to glorify to the whole world, he has done such a wonderful thing, and we have to thank him, do this, do that. Why? What is the need for that? Paras Swabhava Karmani, that is his karmam, he has done that. It doesn't have to be glorified. Na prashamsadi, Krishna says, that comes from ignorance, to continuously glorify somebody for nothing. Na garhadi, you don't have to condemn also. It is his modes of nature, he has done that. Only when one spiritually understands things, he can discriminate it like that. Otherwise, what will happen is, you will glorify somebody and you will condemn somebody today. Tomorrow, the person whom you have glorified, he will do something which you may not like it, will go against it. Then you have to condemn him also, like the way you have glorified. The moment this starts, you started taking sides with people. Once you start doing this kind of attitude in life, then Krishna says it won't help you. You will fall further down. Very strongly, Krishna warns Uddhava about this. Paras Swabhava Karmani na prashamsayet na garhayet, Krishna says. It shouldn't be appreciated, nor you don't have to do any prashamsa, nor you don't have to condemn it either. That is his modes of nature. He is working accordingly. What is there to say about that? This is the type of a person who has advanced spiritually. It applies to jnani, it applies to a devotee, it applies to a karmayogi or any other person who follows in the spiritual path. This is the right at understanding what Krishna says here. Samadukha Sugha Swastham. He will, in other words, he will execute his duty in his karmam. He will engage in his karmam without being affected by any of this. If good things comes, he will accept it. And if bad things also, he will accept it, because it's the result of the modes of nature. Then, then he also says here, he will keep away from everything. All the different kinds of desires and different kinds of thoughts that's building up inside, he is able to stay away from that. And if he is a gunati, then if he has gone transcend beyond the three modes of nature, and he will not discuss with anyone, nor the gunas have not completely left him, then the spiritual life does not mean that you run away from responsibility. That's not spiritual life means. Spiritual life does not mean that. Spiritual life actually means that you have to act in this world, but not being implicated in that. In other words, not being affected by only the modes of nature are working. With that conviction, one has to function. Just like, to give an example, that modes of nature, once you associate with that, it will stick. It will stick to us. And depending on our independence from the modes of nature, our interaction will also change. Our reaction will also change. So sometimes happiness and distress will come, isn't it? Happiness and distress will come. In both situations, if you are able to keep the mind under control by properly understanding the modes of nature, then you will not be infected by that. Otherwise, what will happen? That you will get stuck by that particular mode of nature very easily. Just like while working in the kitchen, certain vegetables, they are very sticky. So what do they do? What do the people do? They put some oil on their hand so that doesn't stick, isn't it? The oil protects them from doing that. Just like jackfruit, if you cut the jackfruit, it's full of, there is a sticky thing inside. So if you want to cut the jackfruit and take the different fruits from inside, you have to put some oil on your hand so that it doesn't stick anymore. And after you have taken out, finished the work, throw away the whole thing, and then taken the fruits part, and then wash your hands, then you are clean. But otherwise that sticky thing holds you, it doesn't leave you. So this is the best example to know how modes of nature also sticks in a person. So even while associating with the three modes of material nature, we have to keep this in perspective, not to get infected with that. And that needs Krishna consciousness to develop. Only Krishna consciousness can protect a person from not being affected by all these things, what goes on in this world. Otherwise, according to our, if we simply become a puppet in the hands of the modes of nature, what will happen? Life will be a total disaster, misery, all the time. Experiencing happiness sometimes, experiencing distress sometimes. And then you have to keep saying that, you have to blame Krishna for that. You start saying, Krishna has given this to me, I have to suffer now. Krishna has given me this, Krishna has given me so much money, I have to enjoy it now. So all these statements are coming from that. Actually, Krishna is not giving you anything, Krishna is not taking you also anything away from you. What is happening in is the modes of nature is, according to your modes of nature you have acted. But all the blame goes to Krishna at the end.
Udasino vadasino gunairyona vichayalyade gunavartandam iti eva yavadishtati nengade.
Now, in two more verses, the same, you can compare all this in the 12th chapter also, where it was spoken about the devotee's quality. Very similar things are explained there also.
Samadukha suga swasta samaloshtashmakan jana tulya priya priyo dhira tulya nindalma samstuti manava manayo tulya tulyo mitra eripakshayoho sarvaharambha parityagi gunati dasamuchyade.
So in the last verse, udasina vadasina verse, and gunairyona vichalyade gunavartandamityeva yovadishtati nengade. Krishna spoke about the transcendent person of three modes of material nature. And here, in these two verses also, Krishna says a similar thing.
Samadhukha sukha swastha samaloshtashma kanchanam.
Samadhukha sukha swastha. In other words, sukham and dukham, happiness and distress, he is able to accept it equally. In the sense what? In the sense that when sukham comes, he thinks, happiness has come from the modes of nature through the senses. Similarly, dukham comes also, distress comes also, he is able to accept it in the same way. That is samadukham. Samadukha sukha swastha and is swastha. He is situated still, unaffected by that. Samadukha sukha swastha. Why these things, if you look into the devotee's qualities, if you see in the 12th chapter, if you go back into 12th chapter, what did Krishna say about that, about a devotee? Exactly, more or less the same thing, but only thing a little different words he has used there. Then, in the 12th chapter, Krishna says,
Samashatrauja mitreja tadhamana apamanayo shidoshna sukadukhesho samasanga vivarjidaha.
There, Krishna is saying, in verse number, I think 18,
Samashatrauja mitreja tadhamana apamanayo shidoshna sukadukhesho samasanga vivarjidaha.
In relationship with the devotee, Krishna has spoken like that. And now in relationship with the gunati then, one who has transcended the modes of nature, also it's the same thing.
Samadukha sukha swastha samaloshtashmakanjana tulya priya priyodhira tulya nindalma samstuti.
There is no difference at all. Exactly the same thing, one case of devotee is also repeated here.
Samadukha sukha swastha, then samaloshtashmakanjana.
Samaloshtashmakanjana means that he sees gold and the stone, loshtashma kanchana, gold and the, as well as the earth in a similar way. He doesn't find any, he treats them equally. In other words, gold is very, everyone is fond of gold in this world, isn't it? Everybody is very fond of gold. Especially, some people are very fond of gold. And the desire for gold is so strong that they are not willing to consider the effects of gold in from the Bhagavatam point of view is quite bad, because in the when Parikshit Maharaj wanted to kill Kali asked for few places of shelter. So Kali was very tactful with Parikshit. Kali says to him that give me some places to stay. And then only Parikshit gave him four places to stay. Dyudam panam striya sunam yatra adharmas chadurvidaha. Four places were offered to Kali. What are they? Dyudam. Dyudam means gambling, where gambling goes on. Panam. Panam means where alcohol is served. Sriya. Sriya means where illicit sexual activities goes on. And sunam, animal slaughter, slaughtering animals. These are the four places which were offered by Parikshit Maharaj for Kali to stay. Because Kali has taken shelter of Parikshit, you have to remember. That's why Parikshit didn't kill him. Bhagavadam, in the first canto, Pranaskandam, you can read this. He didn't kill Kali because Kali has taken shelter. And Kshatriya offers shelter. He doesn't kill if somebody has surrendered and taken shelter. So Kali begged for somewhere to stay. And Parikshit gave these four places, Dyudam, Bhana, Striya, Sonam. Yatra, Adharmas, Chaturvidaha. Those four places for Kali to stay. So Kali occupied those four. But while leaving, Kali says one more thing to Parikshit. What is that? That I need a little bit more. He started the bargain process with Parikshit. That four places is not enough for me, he says. Then it is then that Jadarupamadal Prabhu. Parikshit said, alright, as a last concession, he has also given. Wherever there is too much wealth, in other words, where there is too much gold, you can go and stay there also. So that is why these four sinful activities are prominent where there is too much gold or there is too much wealth. Jadarupamadad Prabhu, Parikshit says that Shukadeva Goswami mentions it like that. That wherever there is excess gold, that places also you can occupy. He has given that concession. So, from a materialistic point of view, gold, we look at the price of the gold, how it's going up and going down, isn't it? But Parikshit Maharaj was not looking at the price of the gold every day, like us do. We are concerned about that and we want spiritual life also. But Parikshit is saying, or Sudev Goswami is saying to us, you have to stop looking at the gold prices now, bullion market. We have to come out of that market. And here, samaloshtashma kanchanam, that kanchanam loshtam and samam, equal vision towards that. It was an interesting story about that. Once, one person became a disciple of a guru, which is very common, isn't it? He became a disciple. And the disciple wanted to please the guru. So what did he do? Guru was watching his nature. Nature was not changing. Very attached to wealth and very attached to all his material possessions. And still he wanted to make some progress in spiritual life. So for a long, long time, Guru observed this and he was trying to instruct him on this, but it was not going in. After hearing 25, 30 years, you instruct something and still not going in, what can you do? It's getting very difficult. So Guru waited for an opportunity. This has to somehow get out of this. But probably he has misunderstood. He is thinking, the disciple is thinking, probably Guru also, like me, is very fond of all this wealth, what I am having. So why shouldn't I please Guru with wealth, he thought. So he goes to the Guru. Guru was sitting on the banks of a river. Guru was sitting there. So one day the disciple comes to see him, pays his obeisances, everything. The Guru started the conversation with him. So disciple thinks that let me present this gift, an expensive diamond. He had two of them with him. And he presents it to Guru, pays his obeisances, and looked at Guru's face. Is he pleased now or not? This is the type of disciples in this world also. You have to remember that. So our great disciple goes there and looks at Guru's face. Is he pleased or not? Guru sends that, what he is looking for, appreciation, for thanks or whatever. This modern thanking business starts there. So Guru doesn't thank anybody, disciple. Guru expects the disciple to function properly. That's what's expected from a disciple. So disciple looked at him and handed over this, and still there was no response for that. So what did the Guru do? He took one of the stones and started playing with it like this. He started, you know, just like you play the yo-yo or something. In the same way, he started playing with this. So the disciple was getting a little worried, because if it falls into the river or something, because they were sitting on the river bank, if it falls into that, and then he was concerned about it, more than the guru, disciple, although he has given it, it is still there. His heart is there on that. He was concerned and he was about to say that, suddenly the whole thing fell into the river. So disciples immediately jumped into the river to get it back, thinking that guru has lost control on it, that's why it has fallen. In order to show the material attachment, this story is spoken like this. So he jumps into the river and looks for it, but river was quite deep. River was quite deep. He couldn't find it. He kept looking. By then the water was flowing and he has disturbed the water so he couldn't see anything where it's fallen. So in a depressed mood he comes out and he couldn't say anything to Guru because he's Guru, so what can he say to Guru anything? That so he keeps quiet. So eventually he thought maybe he should ask the Guru where exactly it has fallen, probably thinking that Guru might have noticed it. So he asked the Guru, can you tell me where exactly it has fallen? He took the second one and threw it there, he said. This is Samalo Oshtashma Kanjana. This is what it is. This is the Guru's position. The disciple has to know that. Otherwise, what will happen if disciples start thinking that Guru is also suffering like me in the same way with my attachment to the stones? The Guru is also suffering. This is going to be a problem. That is why it is said, Samadukha Sukha Swastham. Samadukha Sukha Swastha. Samaloshtashma kanjana, tulya priya apriyo dhira, tulya nindalma samstudim. That this tulya nindalma samstudi, ninda, insults will come in this world from others. Insults will come in this world from others. People will also glorify you sometime. But individual, spiritually absorbed person should not get affected by that. That is what Krishna is pointing out here. Tulya nindalma samstuti. Because who are you glorifying at the end? Are you glorifying the soul? Or are you glorifying what? His action, which is completely under the modes of material nature. So, Atma ninda and stuti, both are also coming from the modes of nature of a particular person. And that modes of nature you can't change. So, that is already infected that person and the result of that has come in that way. So Krishna says here, Tulya Priya Priyo Dhiraha Tulya Ninda Alpa Samstudim Mana Abamanayo Tulya Tulyo Mitrari Pakshayoho Sarvaramba Parityagi Gunadida Samuchyadeem. When all the gunas are destroyed and completely transcended the three modes of nature, that duality will go away from our mind. What is this duality? Duality means that our vision of this world is very colored, isn't it? Very colored. We say things that something is right and something is wrong. Actually, everything in this material world is wrong. In the sense that when you start discriminating these things with our own mind, we come to sometimes jump into wrong conclusions also. That happiness and distress, pious activities, sinful activities, heat and cold, profit and loss, all these are nothing but the dualities of the material world, isn't it? Anything you take in this world is duality in there. Boy and girl, day and night, black and white, like that, heat and cold, happiness and distress, everything. So, this duality has to go from the mind because these things are the products of material nature. Of the three modes of material nature. It has nothing to do with the self. So why take it so seriously? That is why. Because as long as one is under the control of the three modes of material nature, these dualities will give him trouble. So, na pashyam ubhayam mune. In the Bhagavadam you will see. When Sri Narada Maharshi saw Krishna first time, what did he say? Na pashyam ubhayam mune. That duality has gone away from me. Up to that point, Sri Narada Maharshi was affected by the dualities of this world. But when Krishna appeared in front of him, what was the immediate response from Sri Narada Maharshi? Na pashyam ubhayam mune. That ubhayam, the feeling of dvandvam or two, that feeling has disappeared from him. Narada Maharshi recognizes that, acknowledges that in the first canto of Bhagavadam. Similarly, friend, enemy, this is duality. Friend and enemy is duality. One who is glorifying, one who is criticizing, these are all coming from the modes of nature. realized soul will not be affected by any of these things because it's a part of the material world. And when one has come completely fixed up in that, then he is called Gunatitan, or one who has Gunatita, or one who has transcended the three modes of nature, Krishna says. Now, in two more verses from now, Krishna is concluding this 14th chapter. You will notice a big change here now. Suddenly Krishna goes back to bhakti again. although the chapter started with Jnanam, isn't it? The six chapters relates to Jnanam. It's all, in all places you will find Jnanam and Bhakti and Karmam tied together. In order to bring us to Bhakti, Krishna brings us through Jnanam and through Karmam to Bhakti at the end. So, up to now, all these verses in this 14th chapter was mostly referring to what? Referring to Jnanam, isn't it? The knowledge what is necessary to, how to discriminate things. But after all that, Krishna is saying now that Vamchayo Vyabhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevade Sagunan Samadhi Teidan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. Krishna is saying here that Vamchayo Vyabhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevade Avyabhicharena. Avyabhicharena means one who does not deviate. One who has Bhakti Yoga, through the process of Bhakti Yoga. Whoever serves me, Krishna says, avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. If one serves me in pure devotion, bhakti yoga means pure devotion, if one serves me avyabhicharena, without polluting with anything else, any other philosophy, pure devotion, that's what Krishna is talking about. Avyabhicharena means pure devotional service, not any other service, pure devotional service. Avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. If somebody serves me in that way, then what will happen? Sagunan samadhi teidan. He will cross over the three modes of material nature and eventually brahma bhuyaya kalpade. He will come to the pure realized state. He will come to the state of realization of Brahman. Or in other words, a devotee, by executing pure devotional service to Krishna, he will be pure devotion. This is the most important thing there. Only by executing pure devotional service, you'll get out of the three modes of material nature. Otherwise not. Otherwise, you'll get more and more implicated in the modes of nature. Externally, you can say, I'm executing devotional service. But devotional service, unless it's executed pure devotional service, material desires will come and go. That you can't stop it in the first day. It will not stop. By executing pure devotional service, material desires has to go and vairagyam has to come. Inside. This is the expectations from a devotee. That is why Bhakti Yogam process is powerful as long as it is executed properly. Otherwise it will not have any effect. It will go whole life after life, this will continue. So that's why it said, Vamchayo Avyabhicharena Bhakti Yogena. Krishna has not forgotten to use that word Avyabhicharena. Avyabhicharena means without polluted by. In other words, not the kind of devotional service where there is a lot of expectations every day from Krishna. Mamchayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevade. Then sagunan samadhi teidan. Then he will cross these three modes of material nature. It has to happen. That is Krishna's insisted this on Bhagavad, not only Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam also. Sagunan samadhi teidan. He will transcend the three modes. Material nature cannot touch him anymore. Three modes of nature cannot touch him anymore. But it will not happen the first day after many, many, many years of practicing pure devotional service. That is when it happens. So, you can see, Krishna has laid the rules in front of us very clearly, isn't it? Krishna has told us, this is the rule. Execute pure devotional service. You will get over these three modes of material nature. But we won't accept that. We want to change that also. Sagunan samadhi teidan brahma bhuyaya kalpade. And then we are saying, I have done so much devotional service, nothing has happened to me. Why am I still like this? People ask this question. Because the devotional service that was executed was materially motivated. And there is no possibility of freeing oneself from the three modes of material nature. In that condition. That is what Krishna is saying. So, Mamchayo Vyabhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevade Sagunan Samadhi Teidan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. And one more verse Krishna says here. What kind of devotion? Pure devotion, pure love for Krishna, and one who spends all his lifetime in that way, in due course, that transcend the modes of nature has to happen. And that includes proper analysis of Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita as well as in Srimad Bhagavatam, and austerities and penances necessary, and all these things will develop into bhakti, that will develop into devotion. Even if one cannot do anything else, even then, at least if one develops pure devotion, if we can develop that, that itself is a great fortune. Krishna says the result of that will be he will be released from this. So, mamchayo vibhijarena bhakti yogena sevade sagunan samadhi teidan brahma bhuyaya kalpadem brahmano hi pradishtaham amrasya vivasya ja shashodasya dharmasya sugasya gandhigasya ja. That is how Krishna concludes this chapter. Brahmano hi pradishtaham amrasya avyasya ja shashodasya ja dharmasya sugasya gandhigasya ja. That shashodasya dharmasya, shashoda dharmam. Shashoda dharma means eternal religion. Eternal religion. Sugasya gandhigasya ja. Krishna says here that brahmajnanam, the realization of brahmam, and the experience that's coming from the brahman realization. And one should not forget that the basis of all these things is Krishna. It is by from Krishna that we get that happiness. What? Brahman realization. This happiness in the Brahman realization also, that comes from Krishna. Now, Krishna is the basis of all that. So, no matter how hard we try, unless there is Krishna's mercy, it is not going to happen. This is one important thing to remember. That is why, in the case of a jnani or in the case of a yogi, it is a little bit more difficult than in the case of a devotee. Devotee offers everything to Krishna. He has no other shelter. He says to Krishna, this is all what I can offer you. I have nothing else to offer. This is my situation. Because of that, he is able to surrender to Krishna. And that makes Krishna to think about the devotee. Only in devotee's case, Krishna has taken that responsibility. Not for a jnani or for a yogi. Neither case Krishna has accepted any responsibility. But here, Krishna is saying here, everything is dependent on Krishna. Krishna's mercy alone is the cause of that. That only through Krishna's mercy, everything, the results come. Therefore, that is one thing one cannot avoid. One has to continuously keep bear that in mind. Then, with this, the 14th chapter comes to an end. Iti Srimad Gita Upanishadsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga Nama Chaturdashodhyaya. With the result of this is the 14th chapter comes to an end. So in 27 verses, Krishna has explained about three modes of material nature, and Krishna has also told us the result of the modes of nature, how it affects us. And he also at the end tells us what happens to a person when he has crossed the three modes of material nature, isn't it? So that's what we are saying. So, something what Krishna is reminding us here is that the knowledge that was discussed in the 13th chapter, in order that that develops in a person, first thing, the bondage of modes of nature has to be conquered. So, when we discuss 13th chapter, we have seen why this does not happen to us, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Because, as the 14th chapter says, the modes of nature is the first obstacle in that way. Modes of nature is the first obstacle in that way. Therefore, Krishna expanded that a little bit detail. A little bit detail, Krishna has expanded that. Krishna has not spoken a lot about modes of nature in Bhagavad Gita. That also you have to remember. On the other hand, while speaking to Uddhava, Krishna spoke about modes of nature much more in detail. A lot more is spoken in the Bhagavadam about modes of nature. Why did that happen? The only answer to that question is that Arjuna's present situation was like that. Arjuna was withdrawing from karmam, isn't it? Arjuna was withdrawing from karmam. Uddhava, stage of karmam is over. He was almost the same age as Krishna. In other words, age in the sense that Krishna instructed Uddhava just before departing from this world. He was almost 125 years in this world. 125 years divine pastimes of Krishna was finished. And it was just before departing, Krishna was instructing Uddhava about spiritual process, spiritual life. And to a person who is 125 years old, there was no point in discussing karma yoga with him, is there? There is no, karma side is finished for him. This karma yoga and all is only practical in the early days in life. In the later stage, karma yoga has finished. That karma yoga has given the purity, should give the purity to a person to move to jnanam and bhakti. In the so that karma that has binds a living entity in the early days in life, at least one has to execute some karma yoga to get that purity of heart. Otherwise, it will never happen. Karma yoga is essential in the process of spiritual life for anybody, whether it is a devotee or a jnani. Devotee executes karma yoga by practicing pure devotional service. Itself is a karma yoga. Even though he has no love or attachment for Krishna, at least his activities are pure. And it is to please Krishna without any expectation. He is not having the false impetus of doer and enjoyer of the results. That concept is not there. Therefore, his activities are pure, and that is karma yoga is purifying him, and that will purify his consciousness. So similarly, here with Arjuna, even that opportunity wasn't there to talk about three modes of nature to such a length. Whereas Arjuna, Krishna was more absorbed in instructing Arjuna that he has to execute his karma, and through karma yoga he has come to bhakti process. The process of bhakti, to pure devotion. So devotion is not a cheap thing. Pure devotion is not a cheap thing. It can only happen when Krishna gives it to a devotee. That spontaneous, of course, bhakti in strict terms is only one thing. Different acharyas have given different classification of bhakti. Different ways it has been explained. Like Sri Narada Maharshi explains in one way in Narada Bhakti Sutra. And Rupa Goswami describes bhakti in another way. He has divided that in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He describes bhakti in another way. So, which is right? They're all right, because bhakti is nothing but, a simple definition of bhakti is nothing but love for Krishna without any desire. For one, offering everything and surrendering to Krishna, that is bhakti. Only when one has pure attachment for Krishna, it becomes bhakti. So that kind of bhakti is what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, not the kind of bhakti what we are used to. Our bhakti is contract. That contract is not discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, this is a spiritual text. Bhagavad Gita is a spiritual text. It talks to us about how to relieve ourselves from the cycle of birth and death. So therefore, we must remember that that thing, what comes as an obstacle in advancing in bhakti, or the three modes of material nature, that is what Krishna has spoken here. So with Arjuna, Krishna knew very well at that point in time, Arjuna has to engage in his karma. That is, he has not even gone through that. So karma yoga was stressed there. Whereas Uddhava's case, if you look at Uddhava's life in the Bhagavatam, you will find Vrishninam pravaro mandri krishnasya daidas sakaha shishyo brihaspade sakshal Uddhavo buddhi sattamaha. Uddhava was also appointed by Krishna as a prime minister. At what age? At the age of 12, Uddhava became Krishna's prime minister. As soon as Kamsa was killed, Krishna has to establish a new regime there, isn't it? Ugrasena was brought in. And Ugrasena was told to take over the responsibility of administration. Never in the history you will find Krishna taking over the position. Have you seen? Any time Krishna says, I want to be the king now, I have got the position. No, all the time. Nothing to do with any position. No, Krishna keeps out of it. That is the kind of detachment to show to us that even while executing such serious responsibilities, Krishna was detached from that. Never once shows any attachment to any position. He could have become very well the king in Mathura after Kamsa was killed. Even after Jarasandha was killed, he could have taken over Jarasandha's position also. When Naragasura was killed, he could have taken over Naragasura's position. Even in Dwaraka also, Krishna says, no, nothing to do with the position. I'm alright. He tells Ugrasena to manage. Why? That is that, if you remember, Bhagavan's definition in the Bhagavatam is what? then Aishwaryasa Samagrasya, Viryasyashasa Shriya, Jnana Vairagyam, then Vairagyam in Krishna. So for a person to advance on the spiritual path, Krishna is showing to us also that this is the mood of a person to be in that process. So then Vairagyam, what Krishna has exhibited, he has exhibited even the last minute also. While all the Yadavas, who are all, most of them were come from the heavenly planets to assist Krishna in his mission, at one point, after the Yadavas became so powerful, Krishna thought himself that my community is going to be a problem in this world later. So they should also go from here. He made up his mind at that point. In this world, have you seen anybody doing like that while leaving this world, destroying his own people and going away? No. They'll make sure that another three generations becomes prime minister. And then he will go, if there's an opportunity to do that. That's what they normally do, isn't it? The kings always did that. Their son, their next son, like that. Whether he's a fool or intelligent, doesn't matter. He becomes the next king. So that is their tradition. So they'll make sure the family tradition must continue. But Krishna says, no, my family tradition doesn't have to continue. He says, my family tradition is like this. I come, I do what I want, I go. And I don't leave a spot here, anything else to be looked after. So that vairagyam in Krishna, you can see at that point also. In so many instances in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, he's pointing out to us how to act with detachment, how Krishna has acted in this world. So Uddhava had done this service to Krishna for age 12 to age 125. 112 years Uddhava served Krishna. And nowhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam or in anywhere else it is mentioned how much salary was sent to Uddhava or what was this perks or anything. Nothing is discussed anywhere. And that was the pure devotion Uddhava has shown to Krishna. And therefore, Krishna realizes that there is no need for Uddhava to go through a Karma Yoga process. That's already finished for him. That's why it says in the Bhagavatam, Vrishninam Pravaro Mandri, that Uddhava, who is the Prime Minister, Krishnasya Daida Sakha, Krishna's close associate. What is it like? Shishyo Brihaspade Sakshal. Brihaspati was Uddhava's spiritual master. And from Brihaspati, Uddhava has learned all these things properly. He has never deviated from that. Uddhava Buddhisatamaha, the most intelligent being. That's why Uddhava was consulted by Krishna in various instances. When we come to Ekadasha Skandam in the Bhagavadam, you will see this personality, Uddhava, his intelligence, which is quite different than Arjuna's intelligence. For Arjuna, this much was sufficient for him to know. Therefore, while discussing the three modes of material nature also, Krishna has stop there. He didn't go further than that. But when we come to Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see Krishna has spent a lot more verses to discuss the three modes of material nature, which we'll see at that time. Now we'll go to the next chapter, which is the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, this 15th chapter is what is called as Purushottama Yogam, isn't it? Purushottama Yogam, Prabhupada is translated as the Yoga of the Supreme Person. Yoga of the Supreme Person, Purushottama Yogam. Now, this is a very important chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. Every chapter is important. Why you may say, why you are saying this chapter is important, that chapter is important, that chapter is important. Every chapter is important. Why it is important is that every chapter is opening up our mind, opening up our eyes to see things as they are, like Krishna says, isn't it? So, only through these different chapters, where Krishna says certain important things, that we understand what is the way forward in spiritual life. Otherwise, how do we know what Krishna wants from us? If we do not know. Krishna did not talk to us, leaving a set of instructions to us, you do like this. And he didn't go away. He didn't say in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, just chant 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, that's enough for you, I'm going now. Did he say like that? He never said like that. Why did he not say that, if that was so simple? No, it's not that simple. That is only to help us, our spiritual life. Spiritual life, what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the only thing that will open up and give us a proper understanding of spiritual life. Otherwise, it's full of faults, full of misunderstanding. A person in Tamogunam, he has been instructed, just chant 16 rounds and 4 regulative principles. Somehow he struggles to follow. After few months, he will fall. He won't be able to sustain there. Because Tamogunam will overpower him. And then he will start sleeping. Then 16 rounds will become 6 rounds. Then 1 round and no round at the end. That will be the end of that. Because he has not understood what's actually controlling him. What's actually controlling him. And therefore, all what Krishna has spoken here is for a person who is totally conditioned in this world, how he can come out of it. That's why it's spoken so, in from all angles it's spoken. Just like we have spoken about the three modes of material nature. In the next verse, Krishna is talking about us in a different way. In a different way, Krishna is presenting about us also. Purushottama Yogam, and that is the 15th chapter title. Then, how the living entity goes back to Krishna. That is what is discussed in this chapter. How the living entity goes back to Krishna. And the interesting thing about this chapter is, there's only 20 verses in this. Unlike many other chapters, in this chapter, there's only 20 verses. If you remember, the Bhakti Yoga chapter also had 20 verses. So these two chapters, 12th chapter and the 15th chapter, although they are very short chapters, number of verses are small, 20, the message in this very heavy. In this chapter is very heavy. I don't know how many of you have read this chapter and what you have got from that, how much you have understood the expansions of these verses. Expansions of these verses. Particularly the first few verses is a very different way of presenting about the material nature and the living entity's conditioning. So, a very important shastra, Krishna has opened up and discussed this. And because of this, because it has got its own weight in this particular chapter, compared like the 13th chapter, this is also considered to be one of the pragaranam. Pragaranam means it is stated like one Upanishad itself, this particular chapter. It is stated like one Upanishad of its own. And the majority of these verses comes from other Upanishads. Comes from other Upanishads. Kathopanishad and also from Chandogya Upanishad and 3-4 Upanishads, Krishna has extracted from that and put it forward to us in the same way. So, compared to all other chapters, because of this, this chapter has a very great message to deliver. And if one can simply study this one chapter properly and get fixed up his mind in that, that is sufficient for self-realization. That is how powerful it is. That's how powerful it is. That studying this one chapter alone properly and get this message absorbed properly and able to understand it properly, that is sufficient to get the Brahman realization. That is what the importance of this chapter is. Then, in the end of this chapter, Krishna will talk about this. Therefore, one has to take very serious note of this chapter. That is how the 15th chapter begins. 15th chapter begins like this. This chapter has a very close relationship with Kathopanishad. I mentioned that before, isn't it? Kathopanishad and this chapter has a very close, because this first verse in this chapter is there in Kathopanishad also. Urdhumalvata shakamashvatam brahuravyayam chandamsi asya parnani astam vedasavedavil. That verse appears in the Kathopanishad also. Now, the shastram, all the shastram will teach us three modes of nature in different ways. Take for example Ramayanam. Why Ramayanam Valmiki wrote in that way was that Valmiki wants us to understand through three personalities. Ravana, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishana. Three personalities in the Bhagavadam representing three modes of material nature. Isn't it? Three modes of material nature. Ravana was the perfect example of Rajogunam. Kumbhakarna was the perfect example of Tamogunam. And Vibhishana was the perfect example of Sattugunam. You see, how Sattugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam comes in the Puranas like this, through personalities. The important thing is to understand the gunas of these persons. Rather than just knowing, the katha is important, the story is there in Ramayanam. But for ordinary people, if you just mention to them about the three modes of nature, it will not have any effect on anybody. Normally people find it very difficult to understand and accept it. But if it is presented through three personalities, like Ravana, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishana, and then if you read Bhagavad Gita's description of the three modes of nature, you will notice most of the things what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita existed in those three personalities. You will find that all the way through in Ramayana. So Ramayana is opening up these three modes of nature in a big way to us. In fact, that Vibhishana, if you look, think about Vibhishana, Vibhishana is supposed to be the mode of goodness he represents there. Because of mode of goodness, he was able to see who Ramachandra was. Sita Devi and Hanuman instructed Ramachandra to Ravana who Ramachandra is. Did it go into his ears? No. It never worked, did it? Ravana heard everything and he laughed at it. Isn't it? Why? That Rajogunam was controlling him. But on the other hand, Vibhishana was able to immediately sense Lord Ramachandra's position. So Ramachandra, Vibhishana comes to surrender to Ramachandra. That's what happens. Vibhishana comes to surrender to Ramachandra. So when he came to surrender to Ramachandra, those who were present there advised Ramachandra, we shouldn't trust him. They said, we shouldn't trust him. Because he comes from the enemy's camp, has he come with some other motive? He says. It says Sugriva and others who are present there were a little skeptical about accepting Vibhishana's connection, because yes, Vibhishana come with the intention of being an informer from before the war starts. But seeing Vibhishana, immediately Ramachandra accepted him. Immediately Ramachandra accepted him, because Ramachandra can see beyond the modes of nature. Isn't it? Beyond the modes of nature. Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is never affected by the three modes of material nature. In order to show that, that is what that acceptance of Vibhishana by Ramachandra is showing. That three modes of material nature did not have any effect on Ramachandra. He was able to see, this person has in the mode of goodness, he has surrendered to me. Therefore, he is genuine. He is genuine. His surrender is genuine. Ramachandra felt like that. Now, while Ravana is represented, you will see he is called as the ten-faced Ravana, isn't it? The ten-faced Ravana. So the effect of Rajogunam in Ravana is so strong that he needed 10 heads to handle all the 10 effects of Rajogunam. What are the 10 effects of Rajogunam means? That when Rajogunam manifests in a person, it particularly affects the senses. 10 senses. 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action. So all those 10 senses and the effect of the 10 senses are all put it through these 10 heads of Ravana. Through that. It is mentioned like that. That the power of the senses are much stronger in Ravana compared to Vibhishana in Kumbhakarna. That is another important point to remember that. Now, how did this happen? Ravana, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishana developed into this situation. Their father's name was, what was the name? Father's name? Vishravas, isn't it? Vishravas' son was Ravana, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishana. So, Vishravas performed very severe penances of Lord Brahma. And that he wanted that Vishnu Bhakti, the devotion to Krishna or Vishnu consciousness, that's what he wanted. Vishravas was performing these kind of things. And eventually, when Vishnu appeared, then Vibhishana was present there. Vibhishana says to him that, what was the boon you wanted? So Vibhishana says to him, Vishnu Bhakti, he says, all I wanted was Krishna consciousness. And the boon was granted, Tathastu, let you have that. You can have that, he said. So Vibhishana got that blessing from Vishnu. And the desire for Ravana was asked, what kind of boon do you want? He said, Ajijane, I want to win over everybody. That was the boon Ravana asked for, Tathastu. He says that was given to Ravana also. and to Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna, because why did, you have to remember, why did Ravana say like that? Because of Rajogunam inside. That is why he asked like that. You see, the Rajogunam manifested in Ravana even at that time. And it manifested in this way, that he made him to ask for this control on others. That nobody should be able to defeat me. I should be able to defeat everyone in this world. That's nothing but Rajogunam, isn't it? The power of Rajogunam has come out like that in Ravana. So, because the Rajogunam was so active in Ravana, even when he was to ask for a boon, it came out in this form. Whereas Sattugunam was so predominant in Vibhishana, the immediate question, the response from Vishnu was Vishnu Bhakti. That's all he wanted. So there itself things have started going wrong. You can see there. Look at Kumbhakarna, what happened to him. Kumbhakarna says to Vishnu that while saying the word also it went wrong for Kumbhakarna because he was sleeping. The word he used was, he says to him, this is all in Valmiki's Ramayanam, how only Valmiki has spoken in such a way that it will appear like a story to us. But if you take the finer side of this, finer side of the words what Valmiki has used, you will find there that he did not want to be obliged to anyone. Nirdevatvam, that is what he wanted to say. In other words, he is in tamogunam. He doesn't want any kind of spiritual commitments or any kind of sadhana or any responsibility. In other words, he wanted to sleep basically. So he wanted to say to him nirdevatvam. That is, he wanted to say to Vishnu. He wanted to say to him nirdevatvam. He wanted to say to Vishnu nirdevatvam. But unfortunately, due to the sleepy mood, when he was saying, instead of nirdevatvam, it became nidravatvam. That, I want to sleep, he said. So, tathastu, there also he said, you can have that. So, all of them, according to the way they asked, they got it. But even there, the modes of nature has taken control of the situation. Imagine that. Even there, the modes of nature has taken control of the situation. So, this is how Ramayanam begins, with this background, that all of them, Ravana, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishana, all three of them, from day one, these modes of nature is very strong in them. And when we study these personalities, Ramayanam is nothing but, Vibhishana is telling us, become like me. Ravana and Kumbhakarna is telling us, don't become like me. That is all it is, don't become like me. So from the experiences of these personalities, this great principle of the modes of nature, Valmiki took to explain to a whole 24,000 verses, 24,000 verses to explain the three modes of nature, Valmiki has taken. In Kathopanishad, the whole thing is explained in 3 or 4 verses. So for ordinary mind, who is absorbed in the material life very strongly, only Ramayanam will work. That is the effect of Ramayanam on us. After reading Ramayanam, what is the question comes up again? Why did they act like this? Then if that question is understood, then the three modes of material nature has influenced them like this. We will see their way of life, Ravana's way of life, Vibhishana's way of life, Kumbhakarna's way of life. And in all these different personalities, Vedavyasa Maharshi and Valmiki is only teaching us this one thing. How to look after oneself in this world, not to get affected by the lower boards of nature. So, and that also brings to the point now, how important the association is, isn't it? If you associate with people or associate with things which are in the lower modes of nature, there is no possibility of coming out of it under any circumstances. It will continue like that. So that is why association is an important thing in order to free oneself from the lower modes of nature. Vibhishana was in the bad association. But because the Sattugunam was so strong in him, from the early days itself, he was able to discriminate that the approach Ravana and Kumbhakarna was taking was not proper. He was able to immediately separate himself from that. Whereas Ravana continued with his aggressive policies. And even after kidnapping Sita Devi from there, Jadayu and Sambhadeva were all instructing Ravana not to go in that route, how dangerous it was. But still Ravana won't give up. That is that Rajogunam in him. That strong, excessive attachment to lust and involvement in the greed and the results of that. How Ravana reacted throughout Ramayanam is nothing but a display of Rajogunam there. Isn't it? Similarly, if you look into the Kumbhakarna's activities in Ramayanam, you will notice from beginning to end that manifestation of Tamogunam in him. You will never find Kumbhakarna waking up and raising any issue anywhere. He had no problems. Only when he was woken up with great difficulty, he will come into action. You must have noticed that in Kumbhakarna's case. If you read Ramayanam, you will notice these interesting things. Kumbhakarna will come into action only if you disturb him heavily. Otherwise, he won't do anything. And even when Lanka was invaded and Hanuman went and gave hell there in Sri Lanka, in Lanka, there also you will notice that it took a while for Kumbhakarna to come into action. He had to be woken up, and he had this agreement, 6 months sleep and 6 months woken up state. And before woken up, he needs some offerings of alcohol and so many other things before he can come into action. And that was Kumbhakarna's terms of agreement, these terms and conditions, in other words. So when these things were not met, Kumbhakarna won't come into action. No matter if Lanka burns or anything else burns, Kumbhakarna was not bothered about it. So that mode of nature of Kumbhakarna, where did that come from? It come from Tamogunam. So what is important to understand in all these things is the modes of nature are so powerful, it controls from the beginning a person's life. It goes on and on throughout. That is why Krishna has spoken a whole chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. Out of the 18 chapter, one whole chapter Krishna has devoted to explain this point to us. We shouldn't take it lightly. Oh, I am a devotee. No, modes of nature cannot touch me. I am above all that. We can say all that, but whether it will happen or not, that you have to see. So, here, in the 15th chapter, when it comes to, what you have to remember is, the background is these three modes of nature, isn't it? When does these three modes of nature capture us? Krishna is going to discuss that, in what situations it will go wrong, in what direction it will go. Now, another interesting thing in the Ramayanam also is sometimes misunderstood. People misunderstand Ramayanam. They ask all kinds of questions. One of the most controversial topics in Ramayanam is one when Ramachandra abandoned Sita Devi, isn't it? So many people read Ramayanam and they will always come up with this question. After all, Ramachandra is called Maryada Purushottam and all that. We call all those things about Ramachandra. But sometimes people say, why did he do that? Why? What was the reason? Why did he have to do that? After all, he was a king of Ayodhya and he was a great personality and there was no flaw in his administration. As a brother, he was superb. As a brother to all the other Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna, they were treated Ramachandra as a supreme personality himself. So there was no flaw on that angle also. There was no flaw in as a son, Dasharatha Maharaj's son. There was no flaw there as a son. Superb was Ramachandra. His obedience to the father and the mother and everyone else was so high that everyone considered Ramachandra as a perfect personality. Isn't it? So from every angle, from Dasharatha's angle, from Kausalya's angle, from all the other mothers, Sumitra and Kaikeyi, they all considered the personality Ramachandra as extremely polite and as a great personality, perfect in all aspects. Even the inhabitants or the subjects or who lived in Ayodhya at that time, they also considered that path of dharma which Ramchandra has followed was so perfect that they could not say anything against Ramchandra's decision making in his administration. Having said all that, when it comes to this issue about Sita Devi, people have a little difference of opinion about Ramachandra. Some people say like this, what was necessary for Ramachandra to send Sita Devi to the forest? Isn't it? Because Ramayanam ends up with this particular incident. Even if Sita Devi was under suspicion of anything, was it difficult for Ramachandra to get him another 4-bedroom house or 5-bedroom house separately and ask Sita Devi to live there? Why she has to leave the country and go? Why Sita Devi had to leave the country and go? That was a little heavier punishment. Many people think about Ramayana, they read and they come back with this question about Ramachandra's this specific decision, what he made. Now, Sita Devi was pregnant in Ayodhya at that time. And one day, Sri Ramachandra asked Sita Devi whatever desire she has. Because at that stage she had so many desires had come to her. In a natural way, as a loving husband, Ramachandra asked Sita Devi, having spent so many years in the forest, and he had come back from there. So Sita Devi's present condition was such that Ramachandra wanted to know if Sita Devi wanted to have any particular desires. So Sita Devi told Ramachandra at that time that the only desire I have is I remember those beautiful forests we walked through during the exile period and different sages they met, Bharadwaja Maharshi, Agastya Maharshi, so many names mentioned in the Ramayanam. So Ramachandra used to take Sita Devi and Lakshmana and go to these different sages ashrams. And sages ashrams were normally extremely peaceful because of their presence there. They were practicing proper spiritual life. So because of that, the whole environment, everything was so peaceful that Sita Devi enjoyed those days much more than in Ayodhya, living with Ramachandra in these different hermit in ashrams. And hearing the associating with different personal, Bharadwaja Maharshi's wife, Atri Maharshi's wife was there, Anasuya Devi. Anasuya Devi gave a lot of instructions to Sita Devi. You can read that in the Ramayanam while traveling, how to take care of herself. So all those things Sita Devi has not forgotten. So those remembrances, those memories have come back to her while back in Ayodhya after the war was over. So Sita Devi says to Ramachandra that those days when we spent in the forest, I still think that sometimes I should go and look at those places. Look at those places. And it was that very night when this conversation happened between Ramachandra and Sita Devi. This incident happened in Ayodhya, which you all heard before, that this washerman whose wife had gone away for a few months and stayed with her father or somewhere else outside and after quarrel, and she had come back now to her husband's house, to the washerman's house. So while Ramachandra was moving around in Ayodhya on that particular day, he heard this words coming out from this washerman's mouth. What was that? He was saying to her, his wife, that I am not like Ramachandra that accept you, that you go and stay with somebody and I'll still accept you and keep you as my wife. I'm not Ramachandra like that. This was enough for Ramachandra to think further about so many things. Thoughts have come to Ramachandra's mind at that moment. Now, one may say, no other instance in Ramayanam, you will see, Ramachandra has spent a lot of time thinking about something. No other instance this has happened. In all other cases, you will find, Ramachandra was very quick to respond. When Dasharatha Maharaj, Kaikeyi brought up this issue of the kingdom, that Bharata should take the kingship, didn't take much time for Ramachandra to answer that. It took only seconds. Ramachandra said, no problem, I'm on my way, he said. He left. There was no difficulty. When Dasharatha Maharaj died, left the world, And Bharat came to inform him. Ramchandra was not disturbed. Never shown any sign of that Sumukha, Subradaha. Ramayanam says like that. That beautiful smiling face of Ramchandra was still there, not unaffected by any of these things. Because Supreme Personality of Godhead is playing the role here. And you can see, Ramchandra had never ever shown any kind of expressions of feeling of sadness at that time to in any of these circumstances. While even leaving the palace to go to the forest, Kausalya Devi asked Ramachandra to stay back somehow. And Kausalya Devi was even mentioning to Ramachandra that if anything happens to King Dasharatha, what will be my situation here? And Ramachandra consoled his mother, and eventually Kausalya Devi realized that Ramachandra was not disturbed by the mood, what Ramachandra has shown there. So in almost all situations in Ramayanam, you will not find Ramachandra exhibiting a lot of emotions in that way. He was very calm and peaceful. But when it came to this particular instance, when Ramachandra had to send Sita Devi away to the forest, which all happened in the same day, Ramachandra spent a lot of time to think about it, to think about this. Because this particular decision what Ramachandra has made has a powerful impact on the whole solar dynasty. Whole solar dynasty. Surya Vamsham. It's called Surya Vamsham. Ramchandra's dynasty is Surya Vamsham, isn't it? Krishna's dynasty is Lunar dynasty, Chandra Vamsham. So, the whole solar dynasty is what was in Ramachandra's mind when he took that decision. You may ask why. Why is that? The reason is this. When Ramachandra realized that people are talking these things about Sita Devi, the first thing that went to Ramachandra's mind, what will happen to the children? What will happen to the children? If this information or this talk, what was going on in Ayodhya, reaches Sita Devi's ears, somehow it reaches Sita Devi's ears, that will affect the children inside, Leva and Kusha, who are going to be born later. So, no matter how carefully you keep Sita Devi in Ayodhya under protection from Ramachandra, somehow or the other, Ramachandra sensed the message will get to Sita. And if that happens, the child will suffer inside. The children will have an impact on that. And because of that, Ramachandra took this firm decision, Sita Devi should not know about it, what's being spoken. Because it doesn't take very long for a rumor to get through the whole world. It travels much faster. Even the emails can't go that fast. It is that fast it goes. That, oh, so-and-so said so-and-so about so-and-so, and that, oh, did you hear that? Yes, next one. And there's beautiful verses in the Bhagavatam about this. It'll spread and spread and spread everywhere. And then people start looking at you, or you are the guy who have done that, haven't you? You may not be knowing even what you have done, but he will look at you that way, even if you are. So, Sita Devi, Ramachandra knows this psychology very well, our psychology in other words, what we do in all these situations. So, Ramachandra did not want that the children should be affected, because a little bit of this rumor is enough to disturb Sita Devi's mind. So, Ramachandra decided immediately and instructed Lakshmana to take him. Simultaneously, Sita Devi's request to see the forest also came and the ashramas. And that is why you will find in the Ramayanam, at that particular point, Ramachandra took the decision and not concerned about what the outside world will say. That was not his consideration. His consideration was what will happen to the mother and what will happen to the children. In other words, we see only this world in our decision. Ramachandra was seeing a whole dynasty in that. You see? He was seeing a whole dynasty in that, because if his sons, Lava and Kusha, were going to come out from that, if they were affected by these thoughts, what was going through Sita Devi's mind, it will definitely have an impact on the children. Which means that impact will go further down the line throughout the solar dynasty. Ramachandra didn't want that. So Ramachandra's outlook or Ramachandra's vision was so further ahead, he was seeing the whole dynasty in Sita Devi. Whereas ordinary people will think, oh, Ramachandra could have done this and temporarily accommodated Sita Devi somewhere, or he could have stopped the rumor somehow. Something could have done. What he has done was a little bit high or heavy, what she has done, what Ramachandra has done. But because of this, what happened? Sita Devi's fame was never, ever, once she was doubted by anyone. She was so pure. That is why Sita Devi's greatness in the Ramayana is that she was so pure, and every point it was proven that Sita Devi is beyond any kind of doubt from anyone. And Sita Devi's purity was proven even at the last minute, isn't it? That so, even if Ramachandra's fame was affected, he did not mind that. Sita Devi's fame should not be affected. That purity of Sita Devi in Ramayanam you find because of this specific action what Ramachandra has taken at that time. So in the Ramayanam, all these things are spoken to make us realize. Through Ramayanam, Valmiki is teaching us certain things to tell us that similarly if you look, normally when Ramachandra instructed Lakshmana to take Sita Devi to the forest, there you don't find an elder brother talking to a younger brother. That is not the mood there. It's a king ordering the army man or the military merchant. Like, that is how he is treating Lakshmana there. Either you listen to his or your head will go. That was the immediate instruction to Lakshmana there. Not only that, you will also find something interesting here. That when Sita Devi was taken to Valmiki's ashram, where she was left with Valmiki by Lakshmana, you don't find King Janaka interfering that. Have you noticed that? You don't find there, normally here, nowadays what happens is, when the girl fights with the boy after the marriage, say after a year or two, the fight happens. Fight starts, only 1 or 2 days there is peace. After that, it's continuous fight all the way through. So the fight starts. Then, after a few days, the fight becomes very intense. Both are holding on to their position. Nobody is able to make any concession. So eventually, they decide, we can't live together anymore. So she decides, I'm going to my father's house. She says, I'm leaving. So father is saying, come. Why you want to waste your time with him if he's like this? This is the father-in-laws of these days. They act like this. But in the case of Sita Devi, you don't find Janaka Maharaj interfering in any of these affairs. This is another thing to know also. It is a problem between the boy and the girl. Janaka Maharaj could have come. He had a big palace in Mithila. He could have easily provided some facilities for Sita Devi to live there. But Ramayanam never speaks about any of these things where Janaka Maharaj coming and Sita Devi don't stay in Valmiki's ashram. I got your air-conditioned bungalow there in Amithila. Come over there. And no, Janaka Maharaj never interfered in that. There is no Sri Rama Janaka Samvadam in the Ramayanam anywhere. No discussion between Janaka Maharaj and Sita Devi. And these are the values of spiritual life. Values of spiritual life discussed in the Ramayanam and Bhagavatam. That how in a family, that how the relationships can break down. And if the interference of Janaka Maharaj in an affair like that, it is a matter between Ramachandra and Sita Devi. It has to be sorted between them. Because Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he had the proper understanding. He sees beyond the ordinary people and the welfare of the mother, welfare of Sita Devi. He took the best decision at that time that Sita Devi should not get hurt in that particular situation. Because these ideas were known to them at that time. Today, the psychiatrists and psychologists are saying, they are still discussing, can the mother drink 1 pint or 1/2 pint? What is good for her? This is our so-called advanced societies discussing. Whereas there they knew, in pregnancy state, if something goes wrong, how it will affect the children. That was known to them to such a degree that they are able to take care of even a slight thing like these things doesn't bother at all anymore these days in the modern world. Here we are now discussing something different, that in the modern society sometimes now they are also coming out this with this understanding that if a child was aborted or if such a thought has come to a mother or a family to abort a child, And if you go to the doctor and the doctor has spoken to you against that, not to do that or not to engage in such a sinful thing, and if the mother gets into a crisis in her mind with that, that crisis will follow the child. And it is such children who eventually commit suicide later in life. These are all the modern psychiatrist invention. These things were known in Tridayugam to the people, those who lived there. They were aware of all these things. And now we are coming up, probably we are saying that's what it is. So you can see that the effect on a mother, how it will go to the child and how it will have a very strong impact on his future thinking in the life. And often, now they are saying, after they have conducted their so-called research, they are coming to the conclusion that if any kind of controversy or friction builds up inside in the mother, that will affect the child. It will go through the child. In some form or the other, the child will not have the peace of mind later. And that is how all the other problems builds up later from that. So in order that such a thing does not happen, in the Ramayanam, this incident is mentioned specifically to tell us, not to show to us how cruel Ramchandra was, or how mean he was, or Ramchandra had some other plans in his mind, so that they can get Sridhadevi out of the way. So these are the things our mind will go through. But Ramayanam brings much higher understanding of these principles in these verses. So while studying the three modes of material nature, you have to also see how the people in the mode of goodness react, how people in the mode of passion react, how people in the mode of ignorance react. Those in mood of passion, how would they have reacted? They would have said to she would have replied him, if you are not there, somebody else is there, I'm going after him, I'm going now, she said, she'll go with him. So these changes, what Sridhadevi accepted while leaving, when Sridhadevi was taken to Valmiki's ashram, and when Lakshmana had to say goodbye to Sridhadevi, what did Sridhadevi says to Lakshmana? You have to notice the words of Sridhadevi at that time, that let Ramachandra live happily. That was all what she wanted. She did not feel any kind of disturbances even at that time. She felt very much protected by Valmiki's ashram as well, as much as she was protected in Ayodhya. And later on, when the children grew up also, Sridhadevi was to go back to the palace one day. Later on, when Valmiki decided to send Leva and Kusha to sing Ramayanam to Ramachandra. So all the time when Leva and Kusha spent their time in Valmiki's ashram, Valmiki taught the glories of Ramachandra to Leva and Kusha. And that is why they were able to sing the glories of Ramachandra so beautifully when they came back to the palace later. And you can see at that time that Leva and Kusha were never affected by this incident what happened between Ramachandra and Sridhadevi. Why? They were always understood that Sridhadevi was there to protect, Valmiki was there to protect them. And Valmiki educated them so nicely in the brahmachari life that when they came to Ramachandra, later on to the palace, Ramachandra saw in them the two best brahmacharis of this world. Two best brahmacharis of this world. So from all angles, the result was very auspicious. That is what we must remember. For Sridhadevi, it was good. For Ramachandra also had to accept a little criticism from the public for this. Even today, sometimes people criticize. But ultimately, an overall situation, it was good for the decision, was the appropriate decision what Ramachandra has taken. So different instances in Ramayanam, you will notice all these influences of Ramachandra. That. So, urdhvamulamathashaka ashvatham prahuravyayam chandam siyasya parnani yastam vedasavedavil. That urdhvamulamathashaka ashvatham prahuravyayam. Now, this verses from here, 1, 2, 3, 4 verses, it's a very detailed purports on this because it's a completely new chapter we begin here. And begins with ourselves, comparing us with a tree. That is how the beginning. So in the Upanishads and all, when they speak about something, they will always compare with something what we can understand. What we can understand. For example, by bringing this way the principles of Krishna consciousness, what will happen is, for a thoughtful person, it will have a very immediate impact on him. Just like comparing to a tree, urdhvamoolam atha shakham. Only difference is, this tree has one difference, the roots are upwards and the trunk is, branches are downwards. That's all it says, branches are downwards. Many of the, and the tree what is used here is ashwatham. Ashwatham is banyan tree. There are two types of banyan trees. This is one type which are mostly found in the temples. Outside the temples you will find these banyan trees. And these are the banyan trees normally devotees circumambulate. Banyan trees. It is Shastra says one should circumambulate the banyan trees. This particular type of banyan tree. So, ashwatham brahuravyayam. And here, Krishna is saying here, that by observing certain things, one can see the origin of that. For example, a huge ashwatha tree comes from what? A tiny seed, isn't it? A tiny seed, it comes out. The ashwatha tree comes from a tiny seed. If you look at some of these ashwatha tree, banyan trees, they take so much space and it spreads so much that you can imagine that the land it takes, it occupies, is so high that, and there is nothing you get from this tree. It doesn't give you fruits, anything useful. The trunk cannot be used for wood. And even the leaves are not eaten very much. Even the, probably the goats may eat a few and they, even they reject that. So from all angles, this ashwatha tree is not a very useful tree. But while coming to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, ashwatham has been given a very important position. Very important position. So why is that? Because this ashwatham, Krishna says, among the trees I am ashwatham. He says, among the trees I am ashwatham. We have seen that in the opulences of the absolute, isn't it? The Vibhuti Yogam, Krishna discussed that. So here, what's important to note is this, that such a huge tree is packed in a small seed. Is packed in a small seed. If you see the fruit of the ashwatha tree, it is almost the size of smaller than a gulab jamun size. It's smaller than that. If you break that inside, you will find several seeds. And each of these seed has the potency to become a huge tree like this. Potency to become a huge tree like this. In other words, the sthulam or the gross form of something is not the important thing. When you understand the subtle thing of it, the sushmamsham of the seed, that is when you understand the thing properly. You see? That if you see the huge banyan tree and think, oh, so many branches, so many, you start counting the leaves in the tree, it doesn't mean anything. But where it originated from, this whole potency to become like a tree, it was packed in that very tiny seed which was in one of the fruits. It had that potency in that. Isn't it? That is Krishna. That is Krishna's potency. That is where one should see Krishna. In that tiny seed, Krishna's presence which has manifested in the huge ashwatha tree. Similarly, everything in this creation also, what we are seeing, has come from Krishna. It will go back to Krishna at the end. It will go back to Krishna at the end. At the time of devastation, after billions and trillions of years, when the final devastation happens, it all comes to Krishna withdraws everything. Therefore, in all the Upanishads, whenever creation is discussed, it is compared with a spider. Compared with a spider. Urnanabhi, it's called. Why? So, Urnanabhi, or spider, what it does is, it releases from its body everything, isn't it? A kind of a paste-like thing, it comes out, it makes different threads and makes a huge net. And as soon as you go to destroy the spider, what does spider do? Pulls back everything back into it and keeps quiet like a yogi. It sits back or moves away somewhere else. So this is exactly what happens at the time of creation also. So it is now 7:30. So we'll stop here. We'll continue 15th chapter next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.